And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Right now, seriously, it looks like the upper right-hand quadrant of my face got run over by a blender.
What happened?
Did it?
Well, suffice to say, I've developed a hideous eye infection that... You know, I'm showing up to work and, you know, yeah, everything's fine. And, you know, like David will come out and be like, hey, man, what's going on? Oh, Jesus.
The first thing I didn't even say good morning to Jason to say today. This morning I go, let me see your eye.
I'll just have my clicker heroes stream the entire time we're talking.
Why don't you switch it to like a picture of Jump Jet Rex or something?
Yeah, how about some Jump Jet Rex?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
just so at least like people know.
Speaking of which, I suppose we should probably get started.
Yeah, we should probably do that too.
Yeah, probably. what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Pappy.
And this is the SML podcast, trying something fun and different where we're kind of like live streaming this thing right now.
We are technically live streaming it.
Yeah. We are live streaming like a live streamer live stream.
And we already have comments, which is...
Do we? What the hell? People are... it's Ian. Who the hell are these chuckle fucks?
I like that, chuckle fucks.
Chuckle fucks, nice.
I've never heard that before.
What? You've never heard that before?
Chuckle fucks?
Yeah, chuckle fucks.
There, we'll just have this solid image.
That tiny little picture. Something like that. This is great. This is wonderful.
Man, I've never done this shit before.
Oh, it's all good. So, welcome to whenever I try and find screenshots.
Yeah, right?
So this is the SML podcast, episode 188. Lord, we are getting up there.
That's a lot of numbers.
It is a lot of numbers. We are joined today by two of our favorite guests, Mr. David Sterling and Jason Sorensen of Loot Interactive. How are you guys doing?
I'm pregnant.
Facially pregnant.
Is it a boy or a girl?
An eyeball.
This podcast is click.
Whatever the hell mass is growing out of my eye socket right now, I can only conclude I'm pregnant.
Oh, it's a little baby brother on your face.
Yeah, Quattro from Total Recall, I'm telling you.
I'm trying to find like the largest image of your game that I could possibly find, and I'm having a very hard time.
I'll just do this and like just
it looks
click
great.
Through them as I.
What is that? Is that the postage stamp? What is
it? Yes, this is the USPS Jump Jet Rex postage stamp.
Jump Jet postage stamp.
Oh man, I wonder if anyone is streaming it right now. Just watch someone else.
I don't think that works that way. Yeah.
Oh man.
But yeah, so Jump Jet Rex is a game. Why don't you tell us about Jump Jet Rex while we try and find a picture of Jump Jet Rex?
It's a platformer following in the great steps of other loot platformers. It's one of those games when I first looked at it and I'm like, wow, this is like the games I used to play on the SNES when you'd sit down in front of it and there was no multiplayer and you'd be challenged by, you know, just the design and the achievements that were possible and what you had to do to try to get through, you know, get through the game. And it wasn't just a walk in the park. It wasn't just like, you know, Dark Souls 3 where you just roll and slash until you reach the end of the game. You really
roll
and
slash simulator 2016.
It's duck and slash 3. That's what I call it.
Roll through barrels 2017.
Logo up there.
Joe's trying to like casually play his
Dark Souls. It just looks and sounds amazing. It's just to me that a game like that is just the same thing over and over again. And literally every boss gets killed the same way, at least from what I've seen. this goes back to when you first got like Super Mario 3 and you put it in, you're like, oh my God, this is going to take a while.
Yeah. This is going to take, yeah, I like games like that. I could take that.
Yeah. That's Jump Jet Rex. It's like, you can't even get, at once you get through the tutorial, which is, you know, very simple. I mean, the game's controls are relatively simple, but what it asks you to do is to use them in combination with each other to get through the game. And that's kind of what makes it so interesting, in that it's not just like jump, slash, jump, 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 slash. No, you've got to combine these things together to get through these puzzles. Or you can, there's different ways that the jump, that Rex can get through a level in terms of his movement, and you have to decide which one is best, you know, which one's going to work the best for you to accomplish your goals.
Or you can just fly into a laser repeatedly.
And die a lot.
And pile up into black soot on the
floor.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite features of this game, actually.
Black soot and eyeballs, which is awesome.
Also, I mean, one of the things I like about a game is when you can reduce a game to a single slug line that captures just the ethos of the experience. I mean, in this case, it's, you're a dinosaur with jet boots on. Boom. What more you need?
I mean, if that doesn't sell it, I don't think the gameplay is going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to say that people go, okay, I want to play that right now. Just,
yeah. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, anyone who played, you know, like Mega Man back in the day or Super Mario or anything like that, they're going to love this.
Yeah, they're, and what they're going to do is get a lot of value for their money, because the game is not going to lay down in front of you. It's going to change.
This is going to look like crap.
It does look like crap. I tried.
Hey, listen, it's the first. That doesn't look bad.
I couldn't control the audio either. It's going to come through like super loud.
When I first played Jump Jet, I finished the first couple levels. And I'm like, oh, okay, I only got one star. Who cares? Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get through as many levels to see what the game was like as possible. And then I got only just a little bit further than like maybe the second level, third level maybe, and the game stopped me. Said, right. Nope, you don't have enough stars to open these worlds.
And you're like, oh, son of a bitch. Like,
fucking kidding me. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and what's great about that? When you got that game, magic. It tells you, like, you need to be better. We won't even let you try beyond this point until you're better.
Yeah, you've had enough warm up. Now it's time to get, you know, to put some effort in.
Time to get good, scrub.
And you'll put some effort in, for sure.
And one of the things I love is, like, have you guys seen that meme that's been floating around? Like, video games are the only medium that actually test you to see if you're worthy of continuing with the experience. Like, you don't, you know, like, listen to an album, and after the fourth track, the album stops and says, show me your dancing is worthy of continuing this song. You know, like, that doesn't happen. Like, you don't start watching, you know, a Peter Jackson trilogy and, you know, right as the frickin' giant spider is about to take out Frodo, you know, you don't have Peter Jackson show up on the screen and be like, all right, summarize the events that have happened in Middle Earth up to this point. And if you can't do it, that's it, you're fracked. Games are the only medium that do that to you.
I'm going to create a concept album where it's like three tracks in, it goes, what key was the first song in? And you're going to be like, ah, oh, fuck, I can't go on.
It just locks you out. You're not allowed to.
You're like, you're not allowed to listen to the rest of the album. You're not worthy. Son of a bitch. And then you're like literally like calling up your buddy like, man, I can't get past track three.
Joe, what was the Steam game that I was streaming where it straight up said, you are not good enough, and it reduced the challenge level?
Oh, what the fuck game was that?
Yeah, because there was a game that it was built kind of counter to that, but with the same idea, like, you need X amount of skill to get through here, to get better and move on. But its reaction to it was, dude, you can't play a normal. We're dropping it down. And it was a sliding scale of 0 to 100% difficulty. I failed the, like, third level so many times, it auto-dropped itself to 10% of difficulty and would not let me play it at a harder level.
Until I will I say it. That it's pretty interesting that particular game has a slider
yeah.
for difficulty. I'd really love to know what that is.
I was bad. Joe's looking it up right now. I was bad at it. Like, it was just,
it like was how sad. I have to go through your recently played games.
I mean, I could.
not
I do want to
that,
point out,
not,
by the way, one very not well-known fact about Jump Jet Rex, because, you know, you are a dinosaur, and you're trying to save dinokind from this, you know, giant asteroid impact hitting the Earth. Little known fact, 100% historically accurate.
Death by game show, by the way. That's the
Yeah. So what you're saying is that dinosaurs had rocket boots, they just couldn't do it.
I think it's important for hold on, Jason. I think it's important for us to apologize first off right now. At how far along are we into the show?
Yeah, I don't know. That requires looking at things.
10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is.
Probably.
Let's just apologize to the viewers out there for misspelling TwitchCast on the.
Oh my god!
just an apology. We're sorry.
The SML TwitchCast.
Twitch.
My god, that's been like that for how long?
It's the TwitchCast.
It's fine. Sorry, viewers.
Now they can know.
Ian's like too late.
It's yep. You just have to accept it.
I love the fact that if you look at the chat right now, when people say LOL, it gets censored.
That's the only censorship Joe did.
Because I fucking hate LOL.
You censored LOL?
Yes.
You can say, die in a fucking fire, you shit-eating ass crack, and nothing will get edited. But if you type LOL...
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Not fucking around. Not fucking around.
Oh, mine went through.
No, it didn't.
No, what, really?
It looks like it to you.
Oh, it looks like it to you. Oh, that's funny. That's hysterical. Why would you do that?
Because I hate LOL.
But to censor it? Like,
yes. See, right there. You can see it. Yeah.
Does your mother-in-law say that? Is that why?
That's hilarious.
No, I don't even think she uses Facebook.
That's really
funny. Die in a fucking fire, you shit-eating ass crack, LOL. God damn it.
And you brought it onto
And now
yourself.
The chat is just going to be people finding a way to get around the LOL.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Touchdown. If you spread out LOL, it just looks like a touchdown. Or
that's what it is. I hate LOL because no one, when you type LOL, you are not laughing out loud. You are not.
It's possible
you don't know
that you did.
Yeah.
You could.
There's a 95% chance that you just lightly chuckled to yourself.
From now on, I'm just going to say
a chuckle is still out loud, technically.
Joe, where is this really? Where is this live?
Did an LOL touch you when you were younger?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
was that the first name of the priest?
Was his name LOL?
It was Father Lollery.
Jerry Lawler.
Larry O'Larry.
Larry O'Larry.
Wow.
Oh my god. What is wrong with us?
Worth it.
Have you also noticed how people have started saying LOL as LOL in regular conversation?
Yes. I want to punch everyone who does that.
No, that does not happen for real.
It does happen for real.
I do it intentionally. I do it intentionally because Joe hates it.
Yeah, I know.
I at no point did I ever think to myself, I should just say lol. I've heard people saying I did it for the lols, which...
Other lollery.
Jason, where are you when you hear that kind of talk?
In my head, I'm becoming very homicidal.
When you actually hear somebody else say it besides yourself.
Yeah, no, I do not say that because that then I would have to punch myself in my good eye, and I'm not going to do that.
But remember, we are a society that has successfully sold YOLO baseball caps.
Yeah, t-shirts. Yeah, we are.
So there's always a subculture that finds things like that to be worth doing or saying out loud.
Yeah, they don't see
that
it.
That can't be true.
I hate this, like, the current generation of people talking online. I hate internet speak. People can't type out the word you. They have to abbreviate it to the letter U. People don't know what the fuck contractions are anymore. The fact that people regularly say could of or should of drives me up a fucking wall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad when the co-writer of Idiocracy tweeted out he'd never expected the film to become a documentary.
Oh, look at that. Ian comes through with the full screen Jump Jet Rex.
See, and I will say that there's a generational gap in that, but I can't blame any one generation or another because there's subgroups in all of them. You know, I know 40-year-olds who think it's funny to say lols because it annoys their kids, and they've done it so much to annoy their children that they now have adopted it as a speech pattern. So they'll come into work at 36, 37 years old and be like, yeah, I was lolling so hard yesterday watching this video. And you look at them like, what? And they're just like, whatever. It's by speech now. It's
just,
who I am.
Just punch them in the face when they do that. You but, piece of shit.
I didn't know people like that exist.
Yeah. I'm in the military. It takes all kinds. but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to blame an age group because I know 18-year-olds that hate it and I know 40-year-olds that do it. So you can't just assume, oh, it's these guys. It's a subculture. It's what it is. And like I said, I've seen otherwise perfectly quote-unquote normal people wearing a YOLO hat. You know, it's whatever. Yeah, to me now, it's like, personally, I would never pay money for that, but you did. So now I know we don't have anything in common. Thank you.
But you did.
Pappy, didn't you pay money to get a YOLO shirt to give away at MAGFest?
To make someone wear it.
Yeah, but you did pay real money for it.
I did pay real money, but I did that in the what do we say? We do it in the sarcastic way.
I guess. Still, we made someone wear a YOLO shirt.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm against, you know, like Big
Brother
interventions.
I wonder what their stance in Bay is.
Yeah, I don't.
Someone likes Need for Speed, I guess. They Bay so much in that fucking game.
Yeah, where the fuck did Bay come from?
I had to ask somebody what it meant. Like,
what Bay meant?
Yeah, I had to ask. I literally did not know.
I mean, like, when you say it, what do you think?
Well, I was assuming it was like baby, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
But right. I'm like, yeah. Babe is already four letters. Why did we need to take one of those out?
If
do you want to know why? Because if you keep it, their dialogue is so... It's so limited that they needed another way to say baby because it got repetitive for them to just say baby every time.
Baby, 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 baby.
Exactly.
I think if you call someone a bae or you refer to your significant other as bae, you deserve to be dumped.
Yes. Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
And you deserve to die alone.
But again, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But again, it's the culture. If there's 100 people hanging out all the time, I mean, Joe, you and I hang out a lot, and we have adopted methods of speech that would drive some people up the wall.
Yo-loft.
Probably. Yeah, Yo-loft.
Yo-loft.
That was a result of this show, though.
Yeah, but still. So for me, it's just, all right, I'm not into that. Move on. I don't get annoyed anymore at it, but I do sometimes wonder from the sociological viewpoint, how did this happen? You know, is it? But
laziness.
I really think it's because, well, no, I think it's because we are an international society now. You know, we can adopt, Joe, we learn swear words in fucking Ukrainian and Japanese now. You know,
yeah,
from our guests. So
I think that's a perk of doing our show.
Are people who strive to stand out. So they adopt their own subculture, you know.
Most of this stuff becomes popular, and then they're like, this is lame.
And then they're, let's find another thing. Like,
most of the stuff were just
people who wanted to be different, and then everyone decided that that was cool. And now the original hipsters are like, God damn it.
Foiled again.
Most of this stuff I could live with and just be annoyed with, but when people just abuse grammar, that's when I get pissed off. Like, should have and could have, would have. Those are my biggest pet peeves right now.
Before we get back on a real topic, or a relevant topic, I had a coworker sent out a work-wide email about a scavenger hunt we're doing tomorrow for like a, you know, morale thing. And
a morale.
It was so painfully poorly written that I actually took a red pen to it and hung it up in the break room. I gave it a C plus. He's got a good sense of humor about it, but I was like, if you ever send me an email like on Facebook or text, that's fine, I understand. But if you ever send out a work-wide email in that grammar,
I'm punching you in the throat.
Making us look bad.
I will punch you in the goddamn throat. Yeah,
this went out to 35 people, all right, of six different ranks, and some of us take our English a little more seriously than others, so...
Yeah, I would hope.
I'll tell you, the one that's been bugging the hell out of me, the shortening of the word what to three letters, either W-A-T or W-U-T, because adding in that extra consonant, that H, is too much work.
Well, now, here's the thing. I use both. I'll use both, and it's for a particular reason that I'm going to say, like, I won't use W-U-T, I'll use W-A-T, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if something absolutely doesn't make any goddamn sense, like not, no sense at all. Like, if a buddy of mine texts me and just goes, like, I saw a duck driving an SUV the other day, and he ran into a laundry, like,
laundromat
place. Yeah, and it's just like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I'd be impressed.
Like
a duck driving an SUV?
Like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be absolutely batshit crazy for me to not comprehend, for me to just put W-A-T. But I will put it.
A duck driving an SUV sounds like a future Loot Interactive title.
I'm just picturing like the Aflac duck right now.
What? Pull driving over. What?
What? What?
Aflac.
What?
Fluster duck.
Fluster duck.
All right. Distant cousin to Jump Jet Rex? Is
no, distant cousin to Clusterbug.
Clusterbug.
Cluster duck.
So we'll have Fluster Cluck, Cluster Puck, and Fluster Cluck.
I don't think we've released Cluster Puck.
Cluster
yet.
Duck. I don't
know. That could come after Fluster Duck.
Well, yeah, someone else did Cluster Puck.
Right.
Yeah, that was the PHL collective.
Fluster Puck 99.
It's an air hockey game of pure chaos.
It's like a party game.
Chris uses what is an onomatopoeia because I've heard him verbally shout what before when hearing something totally fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Like that is literally what I do.
Onomatopoeia, good word.
Well, now, let's see if we can unlock the ultimate achievement. Do you put LOL in front of your what?
Well, what?
Damn it.
I feel dirty for just doing that, but yeah.
Oh my god. So, Jump Jet Rex.
Yeah, Jump Jet Rex, what?
We talked about Jump Jet Rex.
Yeah, we're past that. What are you talking about?
Video games.
We mentioned it. What war do you want?
Yeah. People are looking at it right now.
Let's see. What?
People, I hopped on Ice Prime's stream.
I've never even heard
night.
Of that. What? I've never heard of that.
Really?
Never heard of it.
That's like
I don't
a
even
pretty.
Know what you're gonna...
Yeah, that's a pretty common thing.
I feel that you've done a good job of staying in the good social circles online.
Yeah, I've got other things to do.
W-A-T, that is exactly what happens.
I don't know who that woman is.
Well, that's
the original meme for him.
I just honestly don't have time for it.
And then you talk about...
this is ridiculous.
You talk about...
We have time for this bullshit.
Dude, we have all of the time for this bullshit, because this is hysterical. To
put somebody's face over, what's his name, from Back to the Future. Who's got time for that? And put one point...
The internet has time for that. The internet always has time for that.
If you want to be driven up a wall a little further, I have a coworker who will only call memes maymays.
I like this one, SWAT.
Maymays.
Yeah, no, he thinks it's hilarious, though. But he's like, yeah, it's maymays.
He's in the military?
Yeah, he's 15-year active duty military.
You stop it, Joe, stop it.
You guys wanted video, so we're doing fucking video.
This is like the best. Listen, this just made the podcast step up like 30 times more fun, in my opinion.
And 100% dumber.
I'm just going to have to be careful and like turn safe search back on. I don't have dick showing up in my searches.
Yeah, basically.
That's a good call.
Is that reading from your cookies or what?
What the fuck, Kate? Anybody see that video on Reddit recently? Some guy streaming and the one girl he's talking to just took her shirt off and was topless. And he's like, what the fuck, Kate? And she shuts her camera off real quick.
Oh, yeah. She got her Twitch channel removed, right?
Yeah. And then she shut down everything.
Wait, it was
completely invisible.
It was apparently it was the claim was it was accidental.
I'm sure it was, but alcohol, and it still happened. And now, what the fuck, Kate, is its own thing?
Of course it is.
How many hours a day do you guys spend on the internet for entertainment purposes?
Way too much.
At least a couple hours a day.
Really?
Yeah.
But, well, and that's not like news and seeing what sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll use it for, like, looking up news. I've been trying to stay, like...
Okay.
I've been trying to stay, like, pretty active with, like, what's going on in certain, like, current events and stuff like that. So I'll try and do that.
I mean, I'm online for most of my day at home, but I'd say for pure entertainment, about 30 minutes on Reddit, and then I have bookmarked crack.com and the AV Club to keep up with just amusement and movies. Recent events. Sure. But otherwise, yeah, I try and do more educational stuff. But my advantage is, again, being in the military, I work with people ranging in age from 18 to 42. So during break time, I get to learn a lot about shit that I might have missed simply because, you know, a 20-year-old's like, dude, you got to look at this video. Or, hey, you know, did you hear about this ridiculous stuff that happened? So I kind of luck out in good and bad. You know, the bad is that now I have actually said bye, Felicia.
You piece of shit.
Listen. I say it too, though, because...
I did it in the right context, though.
Right.
I did it in the right context.
All right. As long as it's the right context.
From the original Friday movie, by Felicia, but apparently about 2 months ago, everyone just decided that was the funny thing to say.
I think somebody might have mentioned it in a song, like Drake put it in a song.
Ian just watched the Kate What the Fuck video. Oh, my God, that is priceless.
But, yeah, and that's what I think is funny. You know, I love Friday. It's a funny, funny movie, and I've seen it multiple times. But at no point did I just go, I'm going to start quoting by Felicia.
Yeah, it just happens.
Someone just decided, hey, that's funny right now. And you've got like a 60-day window to use it appropriately, and then it stops being funny again.
Yep.
Pretty much.
It's basically, there are now, the way that I like to look at it is there are now time frames of inside jokes. Like, where inside jokes used to essentially, like, last for, like, lifetimes.
Yeah.
Now they really just have, like, an expiration of, like, 2 months. And that's pretty much what memes are. Like, everybody's just like, oh, my God, this is the funniest thing ever. And then, like, a month later, they're like, it's still kind of funny. And then 2 months later, they're like, oh, my God, fuck this.
Joe and I can say.
Yeah, there it is.
Joe and I can say Henry Jones has good stats and chuckle.
Yeah. And
but if that had happened in this era where someone had gotten a video recording of the incident, it could have been up, gotten popular,
oh my
and then
God.
Disappeared within a month.
He would have been huge. I'm waiting for Ian to comment on the Henry Jones thing.
Yeah.
He's in chat.
But yeah, but part of it is the internet. You know, if someone's got that video, like this, the, you know, what the, Kate, what the fuck, that could have been an in-joke for years among the friends. But
Sure.
Video online, everyone's going to say it, and then a month or two later, they're going to find something else.
Basically,
yeah.
So it's now, yeah, it's an in joke among your closest 2 billion friends.
Closest 2 billion friends. Thank you, internet. I have so many friends.
I think the scary thing is, you know, I remember a while back, Patton Oswalt once wrote an essay on, you know, the death of true otaku, because it used to be, oh, if you had some sort of inside source of information, you know, that was actually really rare. Now, because of the internet, not only does everyone have the same source, but that source is wrong.
Yeah.
I'd say with that, like, I'm still a font of useless information in movies and music, but that's only because the people I'm around most often know less than me. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's but yeah, but it. If I were to hang out, like, you know, my friend Doug, who's, you know, a fucking film major, I can't get away with half of the stuff that I know. He'd just be like, yeah, I know that. Yeah. Shut up. Shut up. Like, we're treading old ground here. But at work, if someone makes a comment about a movie we're watching, I can be like, yeah, man, it was, you know, really interesting that this guy went on to do this. I never would have believed it. And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. But, yeah, but anyone who's internet savvy, you know, you don't need me anymore. You just go to IMDb.
Are you one of those types of I like to think that there's two types of people in the world now. There's the type of people that when you're having a conversation about something, you'll talk to the other person about it, and then there's the other type of person where as you're talking about whatever it is that you're talking about, they're actively Googling to see if you're right or not. You ever have that type of conversation with someone?
I try to only do that. I do that when they're talking politics so I can disprove their support Trump bullshit.
That's a beautiful hat. It's a lovely hat.
I feel like Jason and David are so left out of the conversation right now, which is shocking considering how Jason.
Well, I mean, it was kind of like an open-ended question for everybody. Like, I want to know what everybody's opinion is of the person that's like fact-checking all the time when you're hanging out.
Does that annoy you guys? Like having someone just Googling everything you're saying rather than actually having a conversation?
Well, here's the thing is, generally speaking, if I hear some sort of weird factoid or something, I will Google it, but not during the conversation. I'm going to Google that like after the conversation is over. Because to do it in the middle of the conversation, it's like, what am I, the fucking House Un-American Activities Committee? Like, it's not important enough for me to be like, sorry, I need to verify that what you're saying is actually accurate. And if somebody did that to me, I would punch them very hard in the middle of their face. And then their face would look like my face right now.
We need to get a picture of your eyeball.
No, seriously.
It's bad. It's horrendous.
Turn your camera on.
Oh my God.
Turn your camera on.
I mean,
you get reported for gore.
Let me put it to you this way: you've all seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Sure. Yep.
Oh, okay. You're one half of a Nazi face melter.
Exactly. Okay. When it starts melting at that point, and the jaw is open with the screaming and the eyeball, and just yeah, that's pretty much where my Fahrenheit 451 is at right now.
Nice. Jeez.
I love having you guys on because we get intelligent references.
We get references.
You are steeped in the old school.
There we go.
Jason. See, that's Jason this morning when I looked at him.
That was basically like if I had shown up to work wearing a Phantom of the Opera half face mask, it would make sense.
It's like, Jason, is any of that going to get on the floor?
Oh, God. I'm sorry. And
I don't have a mop and very few paper towels left.
And that's the one good thing I like about my situation in life. Because if an airman came in like that, we have the authority to be like, call the doctor right now. Okay, what time's your appointment? All right, go home and then go to the doctor and don't fucking come back till you're not contagious. Like, we can say that. And we don't have to be like, oh, well, so you got to take sick days, you know?
Well, it's just this. Like, I've been fighting this. Like weird vibe. See, that is what I should have worn to work today. That would actually make sense.
If you brought the actors with you, everyone would have been even.
Well, you had the rest of the costume, so I don't know why I didn't wear them.
Look, just because I have fun on Friday nights, you
Candelabra.
You know, certain parts of LA, and be like, yeah. So, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going forth. It's like, okay, stop that. We actually don't need to find
Bonds and Nobles.
And guys, Jason seems to think he's an introvert. So
I am an introvert.
Yeah.
Are you exhausted after these kind of conversations?
Just
time. Every time I take one of those, you know, like personality tests, it always comes out the same. It's INTJ, which I then Googled, and evidently that's like the evil mastermind, you know, like the archetype for the villain that they use in all the movies that just sort of sits around and plays chess and pontificates and eats fruit.
Let me explain something. I'm an old school nerd, okay? Like, I don't know people that sit around and take tests about themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to take it right now, actually. I just found one.
I'll just say then you obviously don't know many people who majored in psychology.
I'm taking it right now.
I don't know.
Link it to me, Chris. I'll do it live.
That shit.
It's 16 personalities, right? That's what.
Right. It's the MBTI test, 16 personality types.
Yeah. I don't even look that up.
Please. I'm doing it right now.
But see, David.
I'm going to link it in chat.
What you've missed is the new self-help mentality that's going
on. Oh, it's going to get deleted here.
I
don't know anybody that takes tests about themselves. I just don't.
That one. I'm taking mine live. can do it right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, it's useful. Like, when I went to the...
you can't call yourself an introvert if you're going through those kinds of practices.
Yeah. No, well, no. I understand the personality test to an extent. Like I said, I went to NCO Academy, and we had to take the test to see what kind of leaders we were. Like, that was part of the class. But it wasn't... No one did it because they were curious. It was the curriculum.
Hey, Joe, more bookmarks at the top there.
Hey, they all have.
Oh my God, there's so many.
What is that?
Here's the thing. How many of those bookmarks are devoted to porn?
Yeah, none, believe it or not.
Yeah, because they're all hidden bookmarks.
Well, no, you don't. Those are all hidden. You don't need a bookmark. You just hit the letter P in the address bar and Pornhub pops right up. I mean, come on. You don't need bookmarks for that shit.
At your computer.
I'm personally a fan of Cornhub.
Cornhub?
What does it say for your personality when you go through the first page and it's only at 10% and you're like, fuck this, I don't want to bother with this?
I'm going in. I'm in for the long haul.
I'm not.
All right, so let's take a look at these questions here. You feel superior to other people. I mean, there is no right way to answer that, basically, because if you answer it, yes, I do, well, basically, you're a cock. If you say, no, I feel inferior, then it's like, well, who's
actually
going to answer that?
Like, like, stop it. You're like, you know, you're worth something. Don't be depressing.
Let's discuss this test. Go ahead. Put that back up.
Yeah, exactly. This has become a philosophy podcast.
Yeah, alt-tab the podcast. I don't
Box.
Now we all have to wait for the twitch.
Yeah, now we have to wait for the fucking thing.
It's that 30-second delay.
There it is.
Okay, being organized is more important to you than being adaptable. That's the thing, though. That's one I can accept as a question.
That doesn't make any sense. You can be organized and adaptable.
Yes, but what's more important to you personally? Because from a business standpoint, that we need people who are organized and we need people who are adaptable.
I would say
I know people, if you move their fucking stapler, you have ruined their day.
Yeah.
No. That can't be true.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Those people exist.
The test I had to take at the academy was like a color based. So if you're orange, you are more outgoing. If you were blue, you were more paternal, maternal, caring about others. Green was your organized slash I would say Big Bang Theory kind of people. More you care more about the facts than people's feelings. And then yellow was just pure organization. I scored through the roof on blue. Like out of 200 of us at the academy at the time, the only person who had a higher quote unquote caring level was a mother of three.
Wow.
But on my organization yellow, I scored 6 out of 65.
It's like, I care, and by the way, I fart on your nice stacks of paper.
Yes. Yeah, but from a leadership management standpoint, you want to be balanced in all four. You know, that's the adaptable. You want to be able to do anything that's necessary. But at the same time, if you don't have anyone who's perfectly balanced, what you need to do is find two or three people who combine for that, you know, so that you can share the load and all of that stuff. And I mean, it's some cool stuff from a management standpoint, but yeah, I also agree. Just going on Googling it and paying for the $50 test yourself and just, oh, I'm curious, you know, that accomplishes nothing.
Well, the reason why I got into that is like a while back I joined one of these online dating sites and you see chicks who are all like, you know, oh, I'm this or I'm that on the MBTI. And it's like, all right, this is some sort of weird fucking hidden language handshake. So I'm like, all right, whatever the secret handshake is, if it unbuttons clothing, I must take this test so I can speak the secret handshake language.
See, all that reminds me of is back in the day when prostitutes were advertising on Craigslist, they actually had a secret language where they would put languages like, German, Italian, Spanish. And each language was actually coincided with a sex act. That's what that sounds like to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, like wow. German meant anal, Spanish meant blowjob or something like that. Like,
I would think German means like scat.
No, no, no. Again, we're
shitting
talking,
on each other.
We're talking regular prostitutes, not like specialized.
I'm sorry, but back in the day, there was no Craigslist.
If you wanted people to shit on you, you went down to the corner and asked like a real man.
It's like, yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind a shitting?
The movie.
Would you mind
Zoe?
The horse?
Please
excuse
tell
me,
ma'am,
will you shit on my face?
Please tell me other people have seen the movie Killing Zoe.
Nope. I haven't.
If you're in a German Chinese video, yeah, you tell me, right?
Well, that just cracks me up because in the movie, the guy actually hires a prostitute. And he's like, so what, you know, how much? He's like, $500. Well, what can I do for $500? He's like, pretty much anything but pee on me. And he just jokingly is like, $500 and I can't pee on you?
So, Jason, how much to pee on you?
No.
David?
It might clean out the eye.
David, how much to pee on you?
Not sure. I'll have to think about that one.
Like, if some guy on the street just walked up to you and said, hey, I want to pee on you, how much will it cost?
That makes it way different.
My first question would not be the money. It would be where. Like, if you just want to pee on my shoe, and you, $200.
Oh, no
top
of your head.
I can go buy a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You don't understand. We live in Los Angeles. That happens every day, no matter.
You don't have a say in the matter in Los Angeles.
It's like, what is that? Hey. Oh, piss again? Shit.
You keep saying I got to get my ass to Los Angeles more often this summer, and then I keep hearing stories like that, and I'm just like, maybe I'll just stick to Irvine.
Yeah, right.
Get wet.
I'll tell you how committed I am to this no answer. I mean, any of you guys ever been stung by a jellyfish?
Nope.
No, thankfully.
Okay.
No,
I have.
Have you?
I have.
But, oh, this, I know where this is going then.
And the sting doesn't do anything, just so you know.
Well, that's just is. I
look like got
had one
jellyfish
wrapped around my neck when I was at Kailua Beach on Oahu, swimming to shore. I'm getting fucking garroted by this jellyfish. And my older brother is like, you know, if I pee on your neck, that'll actually be like, no, fuck you, go away.
Around the neck.
Purple red welt on my neck before just no.
So you would rather be in pain than be peed on.
I would rather be in pain and suffering.
Ooh.
But jellyfish around the neck. That sounds like a really weird way to get off.
It's a great way to stay. It will never happen. You know, that is a great way to just be like, and this is how I can prove that I will never let this happen.
I think it's pretty amazing that your brother could pee on command.
Yeah, just, right? Like, I'm just
he's like, do you want me to pee on you? If you do, give me like a half hour. I gotta go grab some water.
I gotta go grab some water.
Yeah, like, I just
visor on you.
Well, and the frustrating part is, you know how, like, when you go to the hospital and they're doing all the exams and stuff, and it's like, okay, now we need you to pee in the cup or whatever, and Murphy's Law, it always happens right after you've just used the restroom. And it's like, damn it, now I have to either sit here in this freaking Silent Hill hospital, or I need to go find like a shit ton of liquids in the cafeteria from hell, and then come back. I mean, it's a no-win scenario, no matter what you do.
And that's why you usually see people in the military always carrying a bottle of water with them.
Smart move.
Random urinalysis. There is nothing worse than being in a fucking giant-ass warehouse with 400 people, and you all have to pee in a cup because some dumbass decided to snort Coke that weekend.
Ah.
Bet that smells great, by the way. 400 people peeing at once?
Oh, okay. Well, not at once, but you get what I mean.
In
so
the
you don't
same
be,
cup.
You don't want to be the guy who's just sitting there in the bleachers just chugging water praying to God, you know. So you always walk around with just a half a full bladder. It's just at any moment I might get a phone call for that random urinalysis. So I got to have a half bladder. I can pee in a cup like a pro now, like start to finish a minute and a half. Like the whole process. Here's your name. Here's my ID card. Sign in. Get the cup. Wash your hands. You know, take the cup off. Pee in it. Put the bottle on. Walk out. Done. Like a minute and a half total.
See, here's one of the things that bugs me about, you know, like the random.
Ian, feel sorry
tests.
For the poor fucker who has to go through those 400 cups of piss.
No, you wouldn't feel sorry when you realize that their lab tech's getting paid $50,000 to $120,000 a year.
An hour? What?
An hour. Only if you drink. You get bonuses for drinking the evidence.
here's the shit that bugs me is, like, you know, you see scandals with athletes over, quote, performance-enhancing drugs, unquote. And that always annoys the shit out of me when it's something that blatantly is not performance-enhancing. For instance, Andre Agassi admits, years after he retires, that he was busy doing crystal meth during the height of his career. Now, I am not a supporter of crystal meth. I think that's a horrible idea. Do not touch that shit. But basic chemistry, that is not a performance-enhancing drug.
No, if anything, it's going to fuck you up worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that this guy could not only walk, but go out onto a court and win the Olympics while snorting this stuff, that's
more of a testament to his body.
That's impressive. Right. That's just impressive.
Yeah, it almost makes it more impressive.
Yeah, it's like Robin Williams had a sketch with his Live on Broadway back in 2000 where he talked about a snowboarder getting busted and disqualified for the Olympics because he tested for pot. And he's like, pot is not a performance enhancing drug unless there's a giant fucking burrito at the finish line.
Yeah, I love this idea of, oh, you know, football players, NFL players who are, you know, testing positive for pot. Oh, you know, we can't have this in the league. Why not? The dude weighs an eighth of a metric ton. He's going out there and doing incredibly violent shit every day.
I mean, would you rather them get addicted to painkillers or get high once in a while?
Yeah, like, right?
And get high. Yeah. Not only do I think it should be allowed, I think it should be mandatory.
I'm right there with you. I get it.
Yeah, if you have that much testosterone in your system, you've chosen as a career path to go forth and ram your body against other sweaty, big, hulking people's bodies on national television, you know what? Here you go. Have an edible.
Yeah, right?
If people are confused by the image, I just quickly typed pot, and that was the first picture.
Get it.
That's what you get.
If this was Legend of Zelda, you could smash that, and there would be money inside. Because that's how economies work.
Yeah.
What games are you guys playing?
What's that?
What games are you guys playing? Not to change the subject, but that question popped in my head.
Oh, Joe got us a review copy of Battlefield Gothic for me to hit up this weekend, as well as, what's the game you just sent me, Joe? The Ride?
The Park.
Park, a psychological horror game. So I'm excited for that. But what am I playing right now? Fallout 4. More.
I have been playing a lot of Jump Jet Rex. I am at 69 stars. I have not been moving on until I get 3 stars and 100% in a level. So I am legit through the first 2 worlds with 100% in everything.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Also, in the gym in the base, that little... not the basketball hoop, but the other side where you hit the thing going up and down... I am currently ranked number 1 with 3,333 points.
Holy cow. I remember looking at it. Somebody had like 2,000.
Someone beat my score. Like they got to 2,000. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna do this and I'll beat him. So I just went for 2,001 just to be a dick. And then I saw someone with like 2,800. I'm like, fuck it. If I'm beating this, I got to go big. So 3,333.
Nice.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is legit right there. I'm actually wondering if our QA guys have even gotten that far up.
Well, there you go. Joe's better than your QA.
And then because of you guys talking about Barbarian on Ice Prime stream last night, I noticed I had that in my Steam library, so I was playing that way too much last night.
One of my favorite games.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
And
of course, I play Rock Band on a weekly basis. I have tons of games I need to play for the show. I just got Battle Worlds Cronus today. I have Mystery Castle, Gun World 2, Paranautical Activity, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
Right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Paranautical Activity?
Yes.
So is this kind of like Deadliest Catch meets Linda Blair?
It actually looks kind of like Doom.
It's a lot like Ziggurat, where it's a first person,
oh yeah,
a roguelike kind of game, first person shooter roguelike.
All right.
It's like if Binding of Isaac hooked up with Doom and Quake and had a fucked up mutant baby.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, so top of mind. Now, this has to be seriously top of mind answer, so you do not get to think about this for more than like a second or two. Top of mind, favorite game you ever played, go.
Earthbound.
Fallout. Diablo.
Nice. All right, so we got Earthbound, we got Diablo. What was the other one? Fallout?
Yeah. It's okay. The only game.
I like how we skipped over what games Chris has been playing.
Yeah.
Diablo. I just assumed Diablo.
Well, yeah, Diablo, but also Hearthstone, the new expansion came out, so...
Rocket League Hoops.
Rocket League Hoops.
Just to give you guys a heads up, we're having one of those big-ass Vegas thunderstorms, so if I do get disconnected, it's because I'm sitting in darkness.
Good.
Okay.
I'm just going to hang up on him now.
Yeah, so Hearthstone, the new expansion came out, and I've been messing around. I already did all of my quests to unlock the free new cards. Some of them are really ridiculous. There's one in particular, a new legendary, that I ended up crafting just because it's random and stupid. You don't always win by playing this card, but it is hysterical. So when you play it, it accounts for every single spell that you've played previously in the game up until that point. And it casts a random spell for every single one that you've casted. And a lot of the times it just gets really, really stupid because the deck that I have put together for it is pretty much nothing but spells. So once I get this thing out, it's just like 20 or 30 things end up happening and it's all just nonsense. So it just makes it a lot more fun that way. They implemented like two different like play styles, for competitive. So I've been messing around with that and a little bit of Rogue Legacy to try and like finally beat that game. Rocket League because of the hoops update, which is like, it's really weird. I didn't know how it was going to work, which I don't know if you guys have played it yet, but so there's obviously two hoops on each side, but there's ramps leading up to the hoops. But they only count for the ball. So the ball, if you hit it into the ramp, it'll cause it to go up, but if you drive into it, you'll drive right through it. So that, like, took a little bit of getting used to, but it is a lot of fun. Aside from that...
I threw a picture up so you could see what the net looks like.
Oh, okay. Okay. There it is. Yeah, so the ramp, that ramp, the ball will interact with it, but you'll drive right through it.
Yeah.
So it makes it really weird how you have to try and hit the ball at certain angles to try and get it in. It's weird. It's really, really weird. And then I was doing some regular ranked 1v1s, and I didn't lose a game. I played like, I don't know, I think I did about 6 or 7, and I won them all in a row.
Nice.
So, yeah. I think I'm going to start messing around with the ranked stuff on Rocket League more because I'm not bad at it.
See, we need to get you on our team when we play so you could just be our ringer.
You should go pro.
I should, actually.
MLG.
MLG Rocket League.
Yeah.
What are you guys playing? You're giving us all these questions. What are you guys playing?
Well, aside from, of course, the games that we're, you know, busy producing, so obviously playing a lot of Jump Jet
like
Rex.
Jump Jet Rex available now on Xbox Live.
Exactly. And for that, the next installment of money will be transferred, wired to your unmarked Cayman Islands bank account. Moving on.
I wish.
So, the one that I'm waiting for, I'm genuinely really waiting for, is next month Valkyria Chronicles Remastered comes out. I'm right now replaying a lot of Dragon Age Origins. I'm so addicted to that game. That game is just crack cocaine for my brain.
Origins, really?
Love Dragon Age Origins.
I think Inquisition's my favorite out of all of them.
Inquisition's really good. I mean, I've done, 5, maybe 6 playthroughs of Inquisition. put probably around 650 hours into it.
All right, so here's my question to you. When you do a playthrough, do you actually fully beat the game again, or do you just kind of satisfy some curiosity?
No, I'm a completionist. I have to completely beat the game each time I go through it. So for Inquisition, a full playthrough will run me about 150 to 160 hours each time.
Wow. Because like with Fallout 4, I'm on my fourth playthrough, but I've only beat the game once because I'm like, okay, I really want to do this. But I want to make a new character for it, so I'll do that. So like right now I'm running around as a freckled redhead named Fucker. But it's because I wanted to try the new DLC, and I couldn't. I usually wait a year for all the DLC and then play it all at once. But I was like, I really can't wait. I want to do this. So, and when I finish that DLC, I'll play around again. And when the next DLC comes out, I'll probably make a new character. Because I haven't finished – I've only finished two companion storylines in 250 hours of gameplay. Because I just keep getting distracted. I'll spend like four – okay, so did you guys know they put neon – signs in Fallout now?
Yeah.
So I spent 20 minutes crafting a wall so I could just put the word dicks all over the wall. But I can't be bothered to actually go finish a storyline.
I saw on one of the highlight reels on Kotaku, someone made a video in the main town where someone's just like hammering on a fan on the wall. It says only a stupid fucking idiot would hammer on this fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just left it there.
Glorious.
Yeah.
You know what's great is any game where you can name the protagonist or name any of the characters, inevitably. I mean, like, I was playing Plague Inc. again recently, which David turned me on to a while ago, and you have to name your disease. And so, naturally, being a grown, you know, mid-30-something adult, I named the evil disease that took over the planet my penis.
Oh, yeah.
So
when I was playing at Joe's, the fungus was Joe Cam.
I think the first one for me, I named it Sony. Followed up with Nickelback.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, because then you get the pop-up messages like, you know, Nickelback has infected more people than the common cold. Nickelback is now officially the deadliest disease in human history. Yeah.
What was the one where like Sony causes people with high fevers, or it's something related to heat, and I lost it because I've had so many PlayStation issues with overheating.
Really?
Yeah.
On what, the 3?
The PS4.
Really?
I'm on my 6th one.
Holy shit.
What?
Yeah.
Joe's just had the worst luck.
I've had luck.
Joe. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The PS4?
Yep.
Wow.
That's like, I went through three Xbox 360s and I wasn't surprised, but
are
Joe
you
going through
a bookcase or something?
No, I have it on top of my TV stand, wide open. It still gets loud.
I can attribute to it. I see it in person.
Yeah.
You mean attest to it?
I even have it on top of soda caps to have an inch of open air underneath. Yep. It still gets loud. It's just the system is too small for what's inside it.
Wow.
And people want a slim model. Like, are you fucking stupid.
Yeah. Dude, I'm really interested to see what's going to go on with this, what is it, this Neo? Is that it? PlayStation Neo?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah. Essentially, the PlayStation 4.5. Like,
really?
Yeah. So so all it is just, like, they bumped up the specs a little bit, and they're going to up-res a bunch of stuff to 4K. They're not going to be doing 4K native. They're going to up-res it. But they're going to put out an entirely new model, and there's going to be other games that are going to use like the upgraded hardware. You have to have the upgraded hardware to run certain games. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
But it's not a full upgrade. It's not a
PlayStation 5. It's not a PlayStation. Like, it's not on the specs of, say, a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, but what does it say to everyone who already owns a PS4? Like, screw you, buy a new PS4?
No.
They're supposed to have two tiers of games, where every game has to run on both models.
Right.
If you're an early adopter, now you can't get the best out of our console.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
That's...
Sony!
Yep.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It seems like Sony is intent on fucking up as much as they can because they know that people are only paying attention to what Microsoft does to...
Right.
Like, Sony, I honestly believe the head of Sony can shoot someone in the forehead and Phil Spencer could, like, spill his coffee on someone and people will make a bigger deal about the coffee.
So Sony is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Sony is Donald Trump.
Has a gigantic lead, does nothing but fuck up, is a disgrace to all humanity. Yet still on top.
Make PlayStation play again.
But also, I would like to note that despite Joe's feelings, he still owns a PS4.
I still own one. I still play it because I have to. I play games now. That's what I do. On the flip side, I fucking love my Vita.
See, but that's the thing, too. Like, the Vita is such an impressive piece of hardware, and they don't fucking support it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing on it. Yes.
Okay,
like,
so I want to throw this question out to our guests. Do you guys have preferential hardware? Like, is there a console or even a PC that you prefer over everything else?
Well, I mean, if we're talking strictly consoles, I mean, probably the best experiences I ever had was probably Super Nintendo. Like, that console just had so many amazing games. But, you know, that was God knows how long ago.
So currently, let's take the current gen consoles between, like, well, the big players, Nintendo, Sony, or Microsoft. Are there, like, between those three companies, is there ever, like, if one of those companies puts out a product, are you more likely to just be like, yeah, I'm going to pick it up because I just support this company so much?
No.
Not really. I mean, it's ultimately who has, you know, not so much the hardware that I'm looking for. It's who has the content I'm looking for. Yeah. Because, I mean, from a developer standpoint, there's pros and cons to both PlayStation and Xbox. And, you know, obviously Nintendo has certain advantages as well. But from a consumer standpoint, how many times have we seen historically where, you know, something wins, not necessarily because it has the best hardware specs. I mean, Betamax was a superior format to VHS.
Yeah.
You know, it all comes down to who's got the content. Content is king.
Yep. I think you hit the nail on the head there, though, is that those of us who are rational people look at the consoles and go, what games do I want to play? And then they buy a console. But, you know, I friends with PS4s only. Dude, that's, you know, you love JRPGs. Fuck yeah, don't get an Xbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's that small minority that's so vocal about the specs. You know, those I don't understand. Oh, you need to get this because it's more powerful. Yeah, but what if I hate every game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that just annoys the hell out of me. When people are like, you know, because this piece of hardware, it can run, you know, more frames per second, and it's smoother, and has more RAM. It's like, if you really have that much...
I don't know anybody like that.
Oh, shoot.
I'm just like, anyone who has that much of a neckbeard boner for specs. I'm just like, really? Okay.
Then I'm just going to be over here with my PC. Just,
even with PC, like, it's cool if you prefer gaming on PCs, but don't tell me because your computer's faster and runs better frames per second. You know, I just like the ease of my Xbox hooked up to my TV. You know,
that's why I still like most people would actually argue that it doesn't make sense for me to own an Xbox One because pretty much every single major game that I play is on my PC. However, I know that, like, if I'm going to play a game with Joe, it's going to be on Xbox One. If I'm going to play a game with you, it's probably going to be on Xbox One. Like, there's certain games that I can only play on that Xbox One. So, of course, I'm going to have a console which technically is inferior to something else that I have. You know what I mean? There's more to it than that. It always comes down to the game.
It always comes down to the content and also the level of convenience. Because to your point, like, you know, yeah, we all have played games on PC. Personally, I am the type of person where I want to kick back with a controller. I'm not going to be doing crazy keyboard and mouse first-person shooters. And I want the convenience of one ring to rule them all. Because like I remember I downloaded Knights of the Old Republic to my PC, and it's like, great, that I haven't played Knights of the Old Republic in a long time. And as soon as I try to play it, oh, your drivers are outdated, and oh, this needs to be updated. And I'm like, how can anything be outdated? This game was built before the Peloponnesian Wars.
I've got a Commodore that's running that thing in the back. What the hell is
this? They coded this thing with typewriters.
Yeah, I mean, people were like communicating with carrier pigeons between offices when they were building this game. And so that, to me, has always kept me very much in the console side of the equation. And, you know, you see people who are very strong, very vocal minority on one side or the other. You know, you see like the BS PC Master Race and all that nonsense. And I'm just like, look, if you are the type of person that wants to rock out on a PC, I think that's awesome. Have fun. But if the content is available on a more convenient platform, then yeah, I'm going to go for the more convenient platform, and I'm going to open up a bag of Fritos, and I'm going to have a bottle of Guinness, and I'm going to kick back.
Yeah, I love Steam for all the little games, the little fun stuff. You know, I spent a couple hours the last 2 weeks playing golf with friends and streaming that, and it was a blast. But if you're giving me a AAA title, yeah, why do I got to worry about my frame rate and my drivers and all of that when I can just buy that on the Xbox? You know,
yeah.
For me, it's kind of size of the game. If it's a big multi-gig game, I'd rather just play it on my TV.
This is There's awesome graphics. War. There.
Yeah, I mean when they were writing the dialogue, so when they were writing the dialogue for KOTOR, it was actually had to be sent via Morse code and then translated to the programmers.
I mean the one from
Jason
give.
And the Argonauts. That's about the closest thing you can get to the pelvis, right?
Graphically, I think KOTOR and Jason the Argonauts are very similar.
Yeah. Jason the Argonauts, on that's a good movie.
That is a good movie. I mean, there
remember
are
when
still
they rebooted that film.
That, I mean, Harryhausen stop motion in some of those films, I mean, it still holds up today. It's great, great effects.
Wait, when did they reboot Jason and the Argonauts?
See? I like breaking people's hearts like that. Oh, yeah. Look at the original thing.
Look at that. Awesome.
Look at the original thing, the horror movie from the 80s. They remade that, but they took all of the fucking handcrafted effects and replaced it with CGI, and everybody universally condemned the new movie because they're like, what did you do? It looks so fake and terrible. I'm sorry. Jason the Argonauts was a rebooted as a mini TV series in the year 2000.
Oh. Get your shit together, Pappy.
It was still, someone still thought it was a good idea to redo that, and the world went, no.
No, there's plenty of stuff.
There are just certain things that really do not need to be rebooted. They should just be left alone.
Oh, speaking of which, anyone
like
going to
almost
see
everything?
Anyone going to see Spartacus this summer?
No.
What?
They're redoing Spartacus?
Yes, it comes out this summer.
With who? Justin Bieber?
No, I'm pulling up the IMDb here. It is well-known actors. They all signed on to it, and then.
Who would do that? That's how desperate Hollywood actors are. That's how bad the film industry is in right now.
That is just sad. I mean, it's like, okay, what have we not yet remade that grossed decently in the 1930s?
Yeah.
All right, have we mined that decade? Fuck it, let's go to the 20s. You know, what did Al Jolson put out there?
Get the Rusty Burke musical stuff going again. Hurry up. Birth of a Nation, here we come.
I swear to God, if
we're gonna reboot Birth of a Nation.
No, they actually did redo Birth of a Nation from the black man's perspective, and it's getting a lot of rewards in the film festival circuit right now.
Wow. But
I don't think I want to post any pictures from Birth of a Nation.
No.
I think I'm gonna hold off on that one. I think I'll keep it at Keep Your Shit Together.
put pictures of this next movie, Intolerance, up. That's a good. They rebuilt like all ancient Egypt for that movie in the 20s. I think it was 21.
I mean, Intolerance. One of the things that I do love is like, you know how films for a while they were just turning into nothing but CGI fests, and finally people were like, yeah, it's all computer effects. We're not impressed anymore. And
I'm sorry. I'm full of shit. It's Ben Hur that's coming out this summer. Not Spider-Man.
You
Ben
piece
Hur.
Of shit.
Oh, Jesus.
But still,
get your shit together.
Yeah, but still, at the same time, it still makes me
upset. It looks a little different than this graphic.
Morgan Freeman and Jack Huston.
Morgan Freeman is second from the left.
Have you guys seen that hilarious video, by the way? If Morgan Freeman was the voice of GPS.
Oh, yeah. God.
Actually, you can get that on... what's the name of the app? I can't remember now. There's an app that you can download that is essentially like it has a GPS built into it, and there's a bunch of celebrity voices that you can get.
I need to ask your opinion. What do you think about the new Ghostbusters?
I can't wait to see it. I volunteered to review it.
I don't know. I might go see it. Okay. I'd probably go see it.
I'm undecided only because I wasn't a fan of the trailer, not because, oh my god, it's women. No.
Yeah, did you see the recut fan version, though? It looks a lot better.
Yeah, I thought the recut fan trailer was a lot more appealing than the official trailer that was...
It is a little sad when the fan recut is so vastly superior to an official trailer that people spent money on and suits had to sit around a room and go, yes, we approve of this. Because the theatrical trailer, the official one, is like a fucking dirge.
Really? I haven't watched any of them. Like, I kind of want to like go into it completely blind.
I love everyone involved in the film. I really love all four actresses that were tagged for it. So... for me, it's not a remake or anything, a direct sequel or anything like that. It's just a reimagining of Ghostbusters. So I'm fine. I hope they just do their own thing and keep the homages to a minimum, because that's when it starts to look a little cheesy to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I don't want it to be like
with a 21 Jump Street remake. They threw in one or two really good, really funny homages to the original show, but otherwise it was its own thing.
I haven't
seen
them.
Can we appreciate how goddamn good the Jump Street movies have been?
I've never seen
them. That's what I'm saying. That you can redo an older property well. You just have to be really...
Are they really that good?
The new Jump Street movies?
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're fantastic.
One is hysterical.
Really?
Yeah.
Hysterical.
Fuck, man, I'm missing out.
I was on a plane, and I started to watch it, and I thought they were going to come and get me. That I was laughing so uncontrollably hard.
Really?
That
holy shit! Yeah,
I had zero expectation. Like I'm like, okay. And we worked at Sony Pictures, and I had no expectation of what it was, what the movie was going to be. I said, "Oh, I watch it. I haven't seen it. Oh my god, was it funny?
Huh?
Really? They really did a good job of." I thought they did a great job of making it its own thing. Like, it had really nothing to do, at least from what I can remember, about the show. It was more a comedy. The show, I think, was a drama, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I never watched the original. I'm so, like, movie and TV retarded. Like, there are not a lot of shows and movies that I have actually watched.
Holy shit! Those two guys are. That was a great script. Yeah.
They're doing a Men in Black.
I was just gonna say. I want you to know that the image the page I just threw up on the other screen is a legit thing. It's a real crossover that's happening.
Yeah. Well, that's a Photoshop.
Well, the top is a Photoshop. Clearly, actual movie, real.
Good for them.
MIB 23.
That'll be funny.
So I'm obviously going to have to see the first two Jump Street movies then.
I mean, they're on, I think one of them's on Netflix now.
And they're worth watching anyway, because they're fucking fantastic.
Yeah. The first one, I don't remember much about the 21 Jump Street, but it was good. I remember it was, you know, much, much better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And then, but the second one really surprised me on how good it was.
Hmm.
And like the cameo in 21 Jump Street is just
But that was so I said you can homage the original and do it well. So with Ghostbusters, I'm not going to judge. I try not to judge. I can be a little disappointed, like with Ben-Hur remake. I can just look at it and be like, eh. Like the new Tarzan movie, I look at the trailer and I go, oh, God. You know, but I'm still going to – I'm not going to say, oh, this is a flaming piece of shit until I've seen it. And then I can confidently be like, all right, yeah, I think this –
What about Jungle Book? I've been hearing a lot of people talking about that.
But I haven't seen it, so I won't give an opinion on it. But the people I know who've seen it loved it. You know, and I think it's the same with video games. Like – if I, Joe is constantly, hey, you want to check out this game? I'll look at it and be like, you know what? That doesn't look like it's for me.
Right.
I don't think I'll enjoy that. At no point do I go, oh, this looks like shit.
Right.
You know? Because that's bullshit. Play the game and then make a decision.
The movie that kind of came and went, and it's basically a video game as a movie, is Hardcore Henry.
You guys Dude, I wanted to see that so bad. They only had it like one day in theaters, right?
No, it flopped in theaters.
And that bugs the hell out of me because I went and saw it twice.
Really?
Yeah,
dude. I was working. I couldn't see it.
It was the first major release. The first we'd ever get a major release. It was originally a Kickstarter. Well, it wasn't Kickstarter. It was one of the other ones. But it was backed. I almost backed it 2 years ago. But I just was like, eh, I don't want to. I don't want any more vapor. I don't want to support more vaporware movies. So I didn't. But yeah, then Fox Searchlight, I think, bought it.
And it was, yeah. I mean, basically it's a first-person shooter as a movie. So the big thing is, you know, don't sit too close to the screen because it will give you motion sickness. And
wait, can you watch it, like, can you stream it?
No, it got a Fox, I think it was Fox Searchlight, they bought it for like 100 mil, but it only made like 11 million in theaters.
Which is really frustrating because it's actually a fairly entertaining movie. And it's just one of those films where you're like, you know what? I'm going in, no expectations, and freaking Charlton Copley from District 9 is in it. Turns in an amazing performance. The plot's actually kind of cool, but most importantly, explosion porn.
Yeah.
Explosions.
Yeah, I want to see it, because I mean, like, we're watching the trailers.
I'm just going to watch the trailer now. All right. But we don't want to get too deep into this. Well, yeah, you're not supposed to hear.
I don't know how bad the trailer is going to be. So.
Yeah. But and this is we keep getting these promises like, oh, these movies or these video games are so cinematic like movies. It was about time that a movie went, you know, we're going to try and be more like a video game. You know.
Yeah, and they did a great job. Like you just watch and you go, yeah, this is basically if a video game level designer created a movie. And it was surprisingly good. Because, you know, at no point, like, you watch it and go, all right, yeah, here's some plot. And just when you think, oh, man, they're going to do too much plot, all of a sudden, some fucking explosions happen that punch the plot in the stomach, make the plot puke, and then run off with the plot's girlfriend because, goddammit, it's time for more explosions.
Nice.
Dude, I want to see it. I'm gonna have to figure out how to see it. I gotta find it somewhere.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't even know if it's still running theatrically, but it was good.
Dude, I knew like from what I was reading, they were only locally. They were only doing like one showing on a Friday, and I had work.
Ah, nuts.
So it was just like, well, that's not gonna happen. And I wanted to see it because the only movies that I ever really get like super excited to want to see in theaters is shit like The Raid. Like,
yeah.
Me, Tim, and a bunch of our other friends, we went up to see The Raid in Cinemark and it was only us. Like, there was nobody else in this theater. And we just went absolutely ape shit like watching this movie. With all of us together, because it's just an absolute nonstop, like,
yeah,
just fucking
all right.
Action
because,
fest.
Just to share my pain, here's what I'm reviewing in the next 3 months: Money Monster, Neighbors 2, X-Men Apocalypse, The Conjuring 2, and Cell and Ghostbusters. But I'm going to throw my name onto other ones. I'm just disappointed someone else took Swiss Army Man from me. But usually I'm the guy who deliberately pays money to go see a movie that I'm probably going to hate. Like, I went and saw Snow White, or not Huntsman, Winter's War last weekend. to review
how,
it.
How was that?
I gave it a C minus because it was beautiful. I was literally like, this movie looks really good. Everything else sucks.
Can somebody mute the movie, please? Can I just watch it? Oh my God. I just want to look at it.
I thought I heard someone say that it was a lot better than the first one because they realized that it's a shitty movie this time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just overacting like crazy.
I actually couldn't review the first one because I fell asleep in theaters. I slept through 30 minutes, so I was like, well, it's not fair to write a review now.
That's the review. That was the actual review. Yeah. It's just, yeah. I fell asleep for the 30 minutes, for the first 30 minutes of this, so...
Yeah. I missed nothing. Plot-wise, I didn't miss a thing.
Well, it's just this, like, if something is going to get you to physically travel to a movie theater, I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to do that for, you know... your typical Sandra Bullock rom-com. Well, I wouldn't watch anything like that anyway. It's like, I'm going to a movie theater to see shit blow up. I want The Raid. I want explosions.
Dread. I want Dread 2.
Yes. Dread 2 needs to happen.
I want
Dread. I mean, you know, you watch Dread and you're like, fuck, Dr. McCoy doesn't take any prisoners.
dude, listen, actually, the last movie that I saw in theaters, and I saw it in an IMAX, which was even weirder because the last time I went to an IMAX theater, I probably saw like a nature documentary in a fucking like gymnasium somewhere for school. But I went to go see
what the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
I went to go see Deadpool in IMAX, and that was a lot of fun just because of the action of it. But I think overall I was kind of like, yeah, I could have just watched this at home and I would have been fine with it. If I were to have seen Dread in IMAX, I would have lost my shit. Like,
oh yeah.
Like it's very rare that I see these movies come out that I'm just like, this is going to be an experience if I go and see this, you know?
Yeah. And that's just is, you know, we wonder why are the movie theater grosses dominated by, you know, superhero films and Star Wars films and all that. Well, simple. If there's so much shit that's available to stream at home, why do I want to put up with the screaming baby and the tall guy sitting in front of me and food that I don't want to eat? Screw that. I'm only going to go out to a movie theater if it's something that I just can't replicate at home.
Right. I agree.
It's a sad time when even X-Men Apocalypse, it's just like, it's just not good enough to get me to, like, yeah, that excited to go to a theater. I'll probably end up seeing it. But if you would have put that movie 10 years ago,
yeah,
it would have been, going for sure.
Well, the fun part is, have you heard the most recent announcement that the home entertainment version of Batman versus Superman is going to be 181 minutes long?
Jesus, why?
There's no reason for that.
Because, you know, the theatrical version...
The movie already is 45 minutes too long.
Yeah. Like, the theatrical version, just... it's fucking War and Peace. Now they're adding another, what, half hour to it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, why? Why?
Who has time? Was time for to watch a 3-hour snooze fest like that.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, yes, Ben Affleck as Batman, that was good. But
everything else
really blew.
Yeah. And now is they're taking the right lessons. They all of the responses, they're actually refilming scenes from what's the one coming out in a couple of months?
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, they're refilming scenes because they decided, you know what? Everyone hated how super serious we were, and we're going to take that away from Suicide Squad and add a little more
Scrod
into it. Suicide Scrotum.
But
that's feedback, and that's important in every aspect of media. If you listen to the feedback, because my biggest problem with that is who they got to helm the whole thing. You know, Marvel picked a guy to helm the first two phases because he loved the source material. DC got Zack fucking Snyder, who just shits on everything, you know. And that was my biggest problem. So I really think I'm like, don't let Zack Snyder have a say in plot. Like, just don't do it, or he's going to just shit out just the most boring stuff you can think of. The man can make a beautiful movie, but he can't write a script. But that's just my screed.
All right, so let's do a quick poll. How many times, not if, because obviously the answer is yes, how many times are all of us going to see Rogue One in theaters when it comes out at the end of the year?
Two or three.
None.
Well, Joe hasn't seen a movie in theaters since the Land Before Time.
No, the last one I saw in theaters was Deadpool.
And before that, The Land Before Time.
I'll see it once.
Clearly. I'm not much of a moviegoer anymore, and I'm going to get crucified for this, but I've never been a big Star Wars guy. I've seen them, but I don't go out of my way for them.
I watched The Force Awakens once in theaters, but I watched it twice since I bought it like a week ago. So
interesting. I just watched 4 and 5 for the first time like a couple months ago. So
holy shit, real.
You are not the target audience.
Yeah. And I still have the, like, I have 6 sitting on my shelf that I have to watch that I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, I mean,
spoiler alert, you know, Luke is Vader's son.
No shit.
Spoilers.
Oh. I'm sorry. Anyhow, you were saying, sir?
Aerys dies. What?
Well, you figure, I mean, you've seen 4 and 5.
It's still difficult for me to understand that 1 is really 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3 is 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the 1, 2, 3 is 4, 5, 6. I know that sounds weird, but to me, the first Star Wars is 1, 2, 3. I know it's not, but they came first.
Yeah. True.
I usually call them the original trilogy and the prequels, because that way I don't have to worry about numbers.
The last three. The most recent three. Here. Ugh.
But you know what? Again, working with kids who are 20 years old, they have a fondness for those movies because they saw them when they were 7.
Oh, they're terrible.
You know what I mean? So when you're 7, everything's amazing. You know?
Because the problem is, when even Christopher Lee can't save your trilogy, you know it blows.
If Yoda fighting can't save your movie sucks.
But that was partially casting and mostly script. We have a man who can make a beautiful movie. He knows the CGI, but he can't write a script. The best thing he did was selling his property to Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, just the script writing, you look at those scripts and you're like, what is this garbage? It doesn't make sense. None of this stuff should be happening, and it's boring as fuck.
But I think part of that, I think that's part of the downside of video games being so prevalent, because you can still make a fun game with a dumbass script. It's really hard to make a good movie. Like, best case with a shitty script that in a movie is that it becomes one of those midnight matinee films, like The Room, you know? That's best case. Most likely
you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Yeah, but with a video game, I've played some dumb games where I'm just like, this is so much fun.
What happens in episode 2? I don't even remember.
Things.
What happened?
Count Chocula fights a Muppet.
What happened? Yeah. Is that the one where Yoda fights in 2? I thought that was in 1.
Well, no, he fights in 2 and 3. And basically you have a CGI Muppet fighting Count Chocula in episode 2.
That's 2. Okay.
Yeah. 2 was the mopey one. That was the mopey one. Yeah.
Oh my. Just put those pictures back up. Let's just take a look at the poster for number 2.
Turn me apart, Lisa.
Yeah, it's the second, but that was the problem with when we talk about the original trilogy, you can say exactly like the fans, we know what happened in each of the individual movies. You know, we know which movie Hoth was in. You know, but with the prequel trilogy, for those of us who saw it as adults, it's so forgettable. Like, I had to go back. We did this huge year-long thing on Star Wars last year in prep for the new movie over at Drunk Monkeys. And it was like, we're going to do a roundtable for every movie. So I had to watch the original three – or the prequel three again because I'm like, I can't even participate because don't know what happened. Like, I don't remember. I can – you know, I can talk plot points about the original trilogy right now. I haven't seen them in a year and change. But you talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3 – it's like I saw him 8 months ago. Don't remember any details.
Which is the one thing to remember.
Which I'm probably not ever gonna watch them. like ever.
Yeah, the only good thing to come out of any of that is the fan belief that Jar Jar is secretly a Sith Lord.
Well, you know, it's frustrating when the one and only memorable character, Darth Maul, gets fucking killed for no good reason, and you're just like, well, shit, he was the only actual badass I was interested in watching.
He was the only interesting character in the movie, and he's shit, dead.
But there was some good acting. Like, Liam Neeson was actually worth watching, but, you know, they didn't give him anything to do as a character.
Yeah, like, Liam Neeson's a damn good actor, and you're just like, there's only so much you can do with this material.
Mark Hamill.
Now, here's a moment where we all feel old. The fact that right now Mark Hamill is the same age as Alec Guinness, and he's filming Star Wars, and he's in the mentor role in these new films. Fuck, we got old.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just like to think he got old.
He's actually aging much more rapidly than you guys are.
Yeah, see, that's his problem, not mine.
Because his thing is, like, you know, I'm glad they brought in the beard, but I was hoping for, like, Mark Hamill when he did Slipstream back in the 1980s. Like, that was Mark Hamill looking badass with a beard. Like, I was hoping he'd go for that. Instead, we have Hobo Luke. Like, he's on the hobo side of the Force.
Oh, at least he cut his mullet. I mean, at least give him that.
True. I mean, he was kind of rocking the fashionable Jedi mullet there at the end of the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, okay, so the Force is secretly Eurotrash. Okay.
Use the disco, Luke.
By the way, every time you say it, that's what I hear.
Mark Hamill. Well,
and if you're listening to the MP3 of this episode, it's a picture of Mark Hamill's head on a camel for Mark Camel.
Mark Camel.
Well, I think the important thing to point out is he's the best Joker.
True.
Yeah. Listen, I'm really excited for Killing Joke.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, I'm really excited for that. I'm not up to date with a lot of that other shit, but I've seen, like, just these clips of everybody going, like, yo, like, Killing Joke is real, Killing Joke is gonna happen, like, all this stuff, and then I started looking into, like, how they're doing it, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is gonna be cool. So, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up on it at all or not, but
as much as I keep up with all the other movies. But, DC is amazing with their animated films.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, drop out of fucking live action, just quit, and just take your animated films to theaters.
Yeah.
You know, dude, and that's the thing, like, I've watched those the animated ones, but I won't see any of the other major ones that they're doing in theaters because I have no interest.
Have any of you guys seen the DC animated movies, like the more recent ones, like Flashpoint Paradox and stuff?
No.
Like, they're on Netflix, and I just PG-13 fucking animated movies, and they're so good.
They're great.
Yeah, they range. So they'll put up a more lighthearted comedic one, and then they'll put up, like, well, Flashpoint Paradox, which is just fucking dark as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Flash, you're another universe, and everyone's dead. And that's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, what is that? Under the Red Hood?
Yeah.
Is that one of them?
Yeah, Under the Red Hood.
I watched that one, and I was just like, damn, these are good. I'm going to have to, like, keep up on these. Like,
Netflix has, like, 6 of them out now. So, just so you know.
Yeah, I would go out and watch. But, like, if you go out and watch some of those, they're doing that style of thing with the Killing Joke, which the Killing Joke is essentially what explains, like, the Joker's backstory.
Yeah. and Robin.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you.
I'm like completely zoning out this conversation because I don't follow any of it.
Well,
dude, I'm not.
We are long gone from the video game conversation, so I've checked out.
I'm not a
but
huge.
What I'll tell you though is you're missing out. That's one of the few things I recommend to people, like movie wise. Like, if you want to see a studio doing things right, check out DC's animated studio.
Yeah, dude. Like Joe. Like I'm not. You know that I'm not a movie guy. Like I am far from being a movie guy. But I will watch these.
They're like the Loot Interactive of movies. It's always
to bring it back to them.
Yeah, it's no misses.
Nice. That's another wire transfer to the Cayman Islands bank account.
I don't do that. Joe doesn't share with us. He just gives
No, Joe. Use the funds from the Cayman Islands account to buy the animated movies.
Or a better computer.
Or upgrade your PC, yeah.
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 I'm gonna start a Patreon to get me a new computer.
Speaking of our tangents, we are running up at like an hour 40 now.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Still early. We've got another hour in us.
Hey, if you guys want to go another hour, I don't give a shit. I ain't got nothing going on tonight.
Well, I got to read that email out, and I do have stuff going on tonight. So.
No, you don't.
I'm going to make mac and cheese.
No, you're not leaving this show, Chris. You're not getting off this call.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm doing when we're done with the call, so don't make
So that's
it
what you're
long.
Doing at midnight.
Jesus.
You son of a bitch.
I got to wake up at 5 a.m.,
Oh, bitch. It's not even 7 o'clock for you, Pappy. Shut the hell up.
I haven't even eaten. I haven't had my mac and cheese.
Bitch.
You're having mac and cheese too?
I can. I'll probably reheat chili.
Well, I'm going to have mac and cheese.
Now, this is important because mac and cheese is a long-running joke at Loot. So, I'm like a huge mac and cheese fanatic. Do you prefer your mac and cheese like oven baked like a casserole, or do you prefer yours like in a pot, you know, where it's more soft? How do you do your mac and cheese?
Okay, so
you go ahead, Chris.
There's going to be two parts of this, because one, I have to prerequisite with I don't use actual cheese,
Mr. Vegan.
So it's fake cheese, but the second part of it would be it depends on the style of mac and cheese, because I get a hankering for two specific types. One, the Kraft style, like just like stovetop cheese packet style mac and cheese. There's that kind. And then there's the other kind that I would make that would be more casserole, larger noodle, almost more like a baked pasta-esque kind of thing, but it's nothing but, like, cheese and sauce, and, like, maybe I'll throw, like, some faux chicken and stuff in there and make, like, more of a casserole style.
Yeah, that's rich people's mac and cheese.
Yeah, if I want to make, like, really legit, like, insane mac and cheese, I go casserole style, throw a bunch of nonsense in there, or if I want to just keep it simple and just, like, get my mac and cheese fix, I will do the packet style. I'm just
saying, mac and cheese is delicious. It doesn't matter what you do with it or how you prepare it. Just don't.
It does matter.
Just don't be that guy who puts ketchup in it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Although
Kraft Mac, is one of the greatest inventions ever.
Both my father and brother put ketchup in their mac and cheese.
I just want to throw it out there. Every time I hear Chris say mac and cheese or add chicken to it, I just imagine him talking with air quotes.
Mac and cheese,
and I add some chicken to it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I do that to inflect quotation marks so that people know that I'm not like, what
I'm trying to figure
by
out. How do you do mac and cheese without cheese? Is it like mac and soy?
How do you fake cheese?
Poorly.
Soy.
It doesn't melt for shit.
It tastes good.
I will say that the melting point of a lot of the fake cheeses, you need to have a very, 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 very powerful.
You need to use the same oven they use to smelt iron ore.
It actually is macaroni and iron ore, melted down iron.
Yeah, it's, dude, because I'll throw some vegan cheese on vegetarian chili once in a blue moon, but then it's just I have a clump of half-melted cheese stuck to my spoon, and I have to throw the spoon away. it never comes off.
So that's – and the now I will say this. If you really want to experience what vegan cheese is actually like, take a bag of it. Take a bag of it. Take a bag of it like Daiya shreds is the – like Daiya is the name of the company. They're mozzarella shreds. I will take a bag of that to my local pizza shop, and they will make a pizza for me. And because they have the legit like crazy pizza ovens – it's at a it's at a high enough melting point so that it actually melts properly.
Yeah, but if you fucking microwave it, like you just have clumps of stuff.
Forget it. Don't do that.
That's just nasty.
Yeah. I wasn't. I will say this: like I when I was transitioning to like a stricter diet, like I actually wasn't that big of a fan of cheese.
That probably makes it easier because things like I'm a vegetarian, but vegans are hardcore. I could not give up cheese. Cheese
eggs were
is
harder
a food
for me.
Group. Cheese and chocolate are the fonts of all things beautiful and holy.
I'm lactose intolerant and I don't give up cheese. I just clear my schedule afterwards.
That's why he needs all this extra time tonight for mac and cheese.
What? No.
Happy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. If I have mac and cheese, I need like 8 hours before I see other people.
No, I mean like eggs are definitely the harder thing for me to get.
If that was me, I'd eat that and then go to the mall.
How many people can I crop dust?
Well, see, the problem isn't the gas. It's the explosive diarrhea side. That's
yeah, exactly.
How many stores can I ruin?
You get kicked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to leave.
If it were like, oh, I have to go shit on the floor of a store, like if I had to, I would go right to fucking Abercrombie and Fitch.
I mean, if you want to talk about cheese that will give you methane, we once again yesterday decided it was time for the Shakey's Rampage.
Oh, no.
Rampage.
Oh, God.
Did they cook it this time?
They did cook it, which was an improvement. I can only say that were my face not melting off of my body, the suffering from the other end would have been truly intolerable.
Are you guys in like an abusive relationship with Shakey's at this point?
Pretty much. It's kind of this masochistic thing where it's like, okay, how long's it been since we died of dysentery? Fuck it, it's been long enough. What's going on?
Since we died of dysentery.
Light of intestinal passage.
Is that the new Oregon Trail? It's just you're in LA and you gotta go to Shakey's and then make it back to the bathroom.
Yeah, because here's the thing, really, it's like
realistically, Jason and I go there to feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, and what happens is, you know, you have it, and then after about an hour, hour and a half, you hear the rumbling starting, and then you start getting the first warning shots, just that spike of, oop, that's a gas bubble. And you know for a fact that the urge is going to strike just as you've started your drive home. It's going to happen.
It's gonna happen.
So we're saying that I need to take a girl there, like first.
Yeah, now you need
to
do it now.
I'd like to go there, look around, and go. Well, at least I'm not that bad.
Yeah, right.
Oh God.
We're talking like when you go to the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet and you find that one guy that just makes you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Wait. Let me put it this way. I mean, a more sanitary environment would be the cantina scene from Star Wars Episode 4.
Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Let me say this. It's the one place I could go to eat lunch with my face melting off and no one notices because everyone else looks worse.
And you actually get a phone number.
He actually came in second in the beauty pageant at lunch.
Oh, my Lord.
Second.
It's just page. When you need to have a proper colon blow. when you need to have the intestinal muscle control of a Tibetan yogi.
You go to so, surgery the next day.
If you are impacted and you just you need to go and you haven't been able to go eat Shakey's.
Shakey's will in fact clear out anything. It's like Agent Orange for your large intestine.
Oh my lord.
It's the most
Yes, there it is.
Yeah. It's the most glorious pain and suffering. It's when the sweating starts. That's when you know it's close at hand. And the really scary part is when you're holding it, and you've made it home, and now you have to get out of your vehicle and stand up, and that means engaging your abdominal core muscles. Yeah. That is such a terrifying moment.
You do that weird side-to-side walk with your ass clenched as hard as possible.
Yep.
Yes, and then once you get there and sit down, you usually start wondering, did I leave the sprinklers on, or is that just me?
Because it's just Krakatoa south of Java. It's liquid. All you can do is just
come in with on it. Hold on and spray the liquid nitrogen.
Oh my god.
And you have to flush while it's coming out because the methane. Flush it underground, you will cause an ozone layer hole.
We love it.
Oh my god. This entire show is just, it's a shit show right now.
It's literally
a shit show.
Just like the last one.
Yeah, except we don't have Bob Baffy this time, so.
Right.
We'll think about shit for him, I guess. Huh?
That's right. Exactly.
But the glory of when you're done, finally done, because remember, it takes a few rounds.
Yeah.
So when you're finally done, there's that glorious feeling.
You just fall off because your legs are asleep. And then wait for the tingling to go away, and then you can stand up.
You wait for the tingling to go away, then you sit down and play Jump Jet Rex.
Then you can stand up.
And you have physically lost mass. Not just mass. It's the most amazing transcendental
like a religious experience. You lost mass.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like you know, you get done with about round four and you have seen Jesus, you have seen the UFOs, you have lost mass, you understand the meaning of life. It is the most transcendental, glorious. You're glad to be alive in a way that I think only extreme athletes ever experience.
Exactly. You've gone through heating and cooling episodes, and now you're starting to level up.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful thing.
Where do we go from here? Like,
I don't know.
Do you guys want to hang around for the games we have to give away?
Oh, absolutely. What do we get?
Oh, good. You guys can help us decide.
Yeah, you guys can help judge things. Let's see.
Are we giving away?
What'd you say?
We have six viewers. I'm watching, so we have five.
I think Ian's the only guy in the chat right now who's actually like not us. But we actually have email contests to take care of. We have three copies of the game Party Hard to give away, and we have three copies of Shantae to give away across various platforms. Which do you guys want to start with?
Party Hard's from Tiny Build, right?
Yep.
Yeah, those guys are great.
All right, let's start with Party Hard then.
Yeah, we have a good interview with the ultimate...
Yeah, Alexander Prime from Pinochle Games.
Yeah,
that was our Monday episode.
Yeah, four Alexanders work in the same fucking studio.
Four of eight staff members are named Alexander.
Holy cow! Really?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Welcome
at a certain point, you just have to be like, okay, guess what? Dude, your name is now Bob.
Well, it was not. Well, no, he was sharing the nicknames, but since they're all Ukrainian, the nicknames were harder to pronounce than the actual names.
Except for the one who was on our show who got to keep Alexander.
Yeah, because he's Prime.
Oh, Alexander Prime.
So yeah, okay, so we have 7 emails for me to read, and we have to pick the 3 best.
Yes, 3 winners.
All right, the rules were, Joe.
The contest here is you had to email us and tell us why playing the game is better than committing actual murder.
And let us begin. Nick Simpson wrote, because you can murder all you want in Party Hard, and your clothes remain clean and unstained. And that's it. Tanner Tate.
Short and sweet.
Yep. Tanner Tate. First off, thanks for the opportunity to win this game. I hope you don't mind me entering all of your giveaways. I don't expect to win or anything, but I don't expect anything. Very positive mindset, Tanner.
Bring them on, man. Enter everything.
Why is the game better than committing real murder? I mean, other than the obvious, why wouldn't play the game be better than committing real murder? Think about the idea of committing or taking another human being life. It's hard to even imagine. Video game violence and murder are fun, enjoyable, and what most people seek while playing video games. I think that's what Party Hard is for me, just nonsenseless fun, and that's the best part about gaming for me. A lot of people forget that gaming is meant for fun and enjoyable, and I never want to forget that. I worry that he thinks most people want to murder in a video game, though.
Yeah.
Jesse Broadwater, why is it better than committing the actual crime? Number one, cheaper. Number two, shorter prison sentence for playing the game. It's the law, look it up. Number three, no blood to clean up. Number four, real life doesn't have a soundtrack, but the game does, and it's killer. Pun absolutely intended.
I'm okay with that
clean,
one.
Good music.
Yeah. Tembo Elephant, Party Hard is better than murder because you can do it all you want in the game and not get tired.
Less exhausting.
Daniel N., the game is better than committing murder because it allows you to embrace your inner serial killer and kill all your annoying neighbors without the guilt and repercussions and blood and guts everywhere. All right. Daniel N., you're going
Psycho.
With Tanner. You're going with Tanner in my do not contact list. Robert McRae, the SML podcast. How is playing Party Hard a better option than murder? Well, as long as things don't go tits up in a big way, playing Party Hard shouldn't end with me cleaning blood and brain/bone matter off of my sweet dad sneakers with a victim's toothbrush. Either option is fine with me, though. Gotta love weekends. Yep. Robert Curley is my spirit animal McRae.
I'm just writing tits up for him.
Tits up.
I just like how he specifically said victim's toothbrush. Like,
yes.
Not even. All right. And
you don't want to destroy your own toothbrush.
Yeah. Unequalized Joe. This is a little long, so let me take a quick sip of Fresca here.
Was that a religious decision on his part?
Clearly, you need Mellow Yellow, which is the official soda of.
Yeah. Why Party Hard is better than murder by Unequalized. Have you ever committed murder? Hopefully not. I'd like to think that I am not entering a contest run by murderers. The question at hand is what makes the new Xbox game Party Hard better than actually perpetrating a homicide? Aside from the moral and ethical implications that come with taking someone's life, there are a few reasons why Party Hard is better than actual murder, which I will detail for you in the following essay.
Essay? Oh,
The most simple answer,
Zach.
Yeah, right. The most simple answer is that killing in a video game doesn't come with the ramifications that killing in the real world would. Actually, acting upon any violent urges in the real world would be met with severe consequences.
Oh, no.
If it's a crime of passion, such as becoming enraged by loud neighbors, you would be charged with second-degree murder. In California, under Penal Code Section 187...
Oh, my God.
Being
yes.
convicted
my
of second-degree murder...
My face is melting.
Yep. Being convicted of second-degree murder...
Win.
Will
this
result in
win.
Being
no,
being sentenced
no,
to a
he's my favorite so far.
Yeah, of 15 no, years to yeah. life in a state prison. This is important for several reasons. One, that is about 2 console generations you'd be missing out on. 2, do you know how many times you could be sodomized in prison by gangs over the course of 15 years? It's a reality you do not want to consider. The threat of having one's anus torn up by convicts is what keeps most people from committing murder, which makes Party Hard a great alternative.
Like
oh my God.
It's out of that kid, too.
Another reason why Party Hard is preferable to Real Murder is that the visual and RO aesthetics of the game far surpass that of the actual world. In the real world, going to nightclubs means being surrounded by sweaty millennials in a dark room with strobe lights while shitty dubstep blares around you, leading to deafness the next day. While this provides... While this provides a definite motive to want to commit murder, your head will be aching too much to pull off a murder with any finesse or any chance to get away, which leads to the aforementioned conviction in prison butt ravaging. Party Hard features colorful locales decorated with the charms of the 1980s with a synth-heavy soundtrack that continues the 80s nostalgia trend that the soundtracks of films like Drive and The Guest have given us over the past few years. How would one be able to commit murder with such a kitschy background in the real world? The answer is clear. You wouldn't be able to. In conclusion, Party Hard is better than Real Murder because it gives you all the thrills without the consequences, both legal and moral, that come along with the real thing. The threat of things happening to your buttocks is enough to turn most people away from homicide, but the nostalgia-inducing artistic design and tense stealth gameplay should hopefully sway everyone else in their right minds away from committing murder by allowing for digital catharsis. And isn't that what video games are made for?
He wins. He gets the code. Jesus fucking Christ.
All right.
He used catharsis and torn up anus in the same essay. That's just automatic win.
Yep, he won.
So the other two.
The other two codes. Let's see. Nick S. talked about having clothes clean. Tanner doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to actually commit murder. It's better because it's not actual murder.
But he, I think he wants to commit murder.
Possibly. Jesse
zero,
B.
Zero
said,
creativity. Yeah.
Jesse B. says it's cheaper, cleaner, and has good music, which is all true. Embo thinks it's less exhausting. Daniel N. is a psycho. And Robert McRae mentioned tits up.
Yep. And dad sneakers.
So yeah, so we have two more codes to give out of those six people. Do you guys have...
And tits up was the one that mentioned the toothbrush too, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have a vote for that one.
What do our guests think? Any opinions on these?
The guy who said it's cheaper, that actually kind of amused me a little bit because
I like that one too.
Yeah, I like that too.
So Jesse is the guy who gave the four. And it was cheaper, shorter prison sentence, no blood to clean up,
and good music.
Yeah, and good music.
Yeah, that'd be my other vote too.
And then Robert McRae for the last one for the sweet dad sneaks.
Sweet dad sneaks and tits up.
I think it's funny using the other person's toothbrush. that was the key thing for me.
Nice.
It's like you don't want to ruin your own toothbrush, but they're not going to use theirs anymore.
Oh yeah.
Like, all right. So it looks like our three winners are Jesse Broadwater, Robert McRae, and Unequalized Joe with his massive fucking college thesis on Party Hard.
I wish I could just copy-paste this into my current thesis that I'm writing.
You can.
Well, yeah.
You're going to pad it?
It's a 17-page thesis. I could probably fit it in there and no one would notice.
That'd be hilarious.
Put it in Twitch chat.
Can you copy and paste the whole thing in there?
I will try.
Yeah. Ian with a TLDR Party Hard greater than ripped anus.
These are terrible pictures. Why are you putting these up?
Ian sent that one, so I'm just going with that.
Yes.
Anyway, our
Twitch chat, by the way.
our next
is now all the Twitch chat.
It didn't show up for me. I think it was too long to go through.
Yeah, probably too long.
Anyway, our next contest is we have Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. We have a
Shantae.
We have a copy for the PS4, a copy for the Wii U, and a copy for the 3DS.
All the things I don't have.
Yeah, and we asked people to email us with why they want the game. Why they want the game.
Because it's
Shantae. As well as what platform. So let us go through these entries.
Did you divide them up by platforms, or did you just lump them all?
Well, I have them glumped together because some people are like, well, I would want it for this, but I also have. So I figure we'll read them all off, and our favorite one gets primary pick. Go from there.
All right.
First one. First emails from our friend Chris Taylor, the namer of the SML podcast. He says, greeting, long-time listener, first-time caller. No, wait, I've been calling for a long time. Oh, right, I named this here podcast once, and still has. I would really love a copy of Shantae and the Pirate's Curse for the 3DS because, A, I already know the game by its soundtrack, and it's one of my favorites. Vert is a golden god of modern retro soundtracks. B, this game has been near the top of my wish list for at least a year. Seriously, I am confident that I want this game more than anyone else who doesn't already own it. C, I love platformers, and I obsessed with, and occasionally write about, games that feature female protagonists, so this game is right up my alley. D, I love you.
Oh, he knows how to push all the right buttons.
P.S. I have access to a Wii U and a PS4 as well, so if I lose the 3DS copy because someone emails you a picture of their boobies, then please consider me for one of the other two platforms. Thank you.
Don't actually email Joe pics of your boobies.
I mean, you could. We just can't show them in the Twitch.
Yeah, true. Next email's from Zach Lyons, who says, Shantae is one of those series that I always hear such great things about, yet I still haven't played any of them. I think it's high time that changed. I was excited when you guys said you had a code to give away for the Pirate's Curse, then disappointed it was for PS4 only, since I don't have one. Now that you also have codes for 3DS and Wii U, you've got an entrant in me. Ideally, I'd love the 3DS code because I don't have time to sit down and play console games these days, but always have my 3DS on me. Thanks for another great contest. He then sent another email that says Shantae retracted thing. So I just found out the new Humble Bundle is Nintendo themed and comes with Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. So yeah, I don't need to enter anymore.
Well, then fuck you.
So I read his two emails for nothing because I always say I will read every email we get.
True.
Next. I have a question. Yes. Do you guys carry around your 3DSs with you wherever you go?
I did sometimes. When I had mine, yes.
I gave mine away in the divorce.
I do occasionally. It depends on if I'm playing a newer game that I'm hoping to get street passes for, but most of the time, not really. Just because no one around here really carries their systems with them, so it's... You don't really get many street passes unless you go to, like, Best Buy, and then it's all ones that have just been, like, how they have the little stations that record the last how many people that were there.
The spot pass thing?
Yeah. If I lived in California, New York probably would do it a lot more. But MagFest,
oh yeah, when you're in a metropolitan area, it gets stupid. Because then you're just like passing people's apartments where they're just like sitting there.
Yeah. Anyway, next entry is from Randall Drew. His email says,
sounds like something ISIS would use.
a 3DS.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
La, ISIS la, 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 la.
Randall says, I love it when you guys sing song the title. Anyway, I want a code because believe it or not, I've never played a game in the series. I've just enjoyed Vert's amazing music. Preferred platform is 3DS, though Wii U will work as well. Rock on, gents. Music.
Well, and it's Randall.
Yeah, true. And next Randall. One is from our friend Sean Smith. She says, hey, Joe, Cam, Pappy, and Chris, or whomever you've got there right now. I would love to win Shantae and the Pirate's Curse on my 3DS. Why? Because I am woefully deficient on 3DS titles. Plus, my birthday was this past Saturday, and I think it would be a fantastic birthday present. Don't you? Of course you do. Or if I don't get it, that's fine, but that person better have a seriously funny email. Thanks.
Birthday.
Next one is from Daniel Ennigan, who says, our matey still have that Shantae code available? Thar she blows.
Thar okay. She blows.
I'll give him props for that.
Fat girls.
He's looking for PS4. And then Luis Fernando Machado Silva, who says, hi, I'm a huge fan of Shantae and would love to play Pirate's Curse on my 3DS.
Wait, man. Joe, what was the name of it? What was that name again?
Luis Fernando Machado Silva.
Thank you.
I'm sure I fucked that up.
He can do in his life
call him.
Is make porn films. With a name like that, you have to have a career in porn. That's just one of the rules.
All right, Luis, if you're listening, you know what you got to do.
start changing your career path right now.
What you got to do. Well, for me, I think my three favorite entries were Chris, Randall, and Sean. And Chris is looking for any of the three platforms. Randall's looking for 3DS or Wii U, and Shion is looking for 3DS.
But well, I think the guy who wrote in Pirate Speak, though.
All right, well, we gotta pick some winners here.
I think I kind of like Joe's picks too.
Something has to go to Fernando Lamas over there.
Having a long name doesn't constitute, because the rest of the email was just like, "Hey, I hope I get a game."
It's just, "Hey, I'm a fan."
His name is longer than his letter,
right?
I think Chris Taylor definitely gets one. His was a solid entry.
Yeah, he hit all the right notes and he kissed our ass. So.
And then Shion, it was her birthday, so I think she should get the 3DS copy as her birthday present.
Randall gets the Wii U.
And Chris Taylor,
Chris
the PS4.
Gets the PS4.
That work for you guys?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know.
Don't feel too bad for Daniel N, because we did have.
I don't feel bad for any. A lot of these guys do. We have hooked them up a couple.
Oh yeah.
Times
well,
like that,
well,
so.
We had one more game to give away, and that is Loud on Planet X for the PS4. And he's the only email we got about it so far, so he's automatically getting the game.
Boom.
We asked.
Wait, can I write one?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, okay.
It's you could write us an email right now at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're the first person to email us, fuck it.
SMLpodcast, my face is melting. Can I please have a gift?
He's only got one eye. It's just exploded on the floor.
But yeah, if you guys haven't played Loud on Planet X for the PS4, it is a fantastic rhythm defense game. And we asked you guys to email us, what music would you play to fight off an alien attack? And Daniel wrote in, I'd play the theme from the movie Independence Day while fighting aliens. I'm sure that will scare them and make them crawl back from whatever hole they came out of.
What?
That's a good... I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
All right, let's have that set up again, because that...
What music you would play... To fight off
aliens. Fight aliens.
Oh, there's all. Yeah. Come on. So Slayer's second album, Hell Awaits. That's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And the other copy goes to David the Rod Sterling.
No, thank you.
Hell Awaits. Listen, Hell Awaits would be. Hell Awaits would be great.
Yeah. They're not getting in.
Oh, man. But yeah, if.
You wouldn't do see. Like, what was it? Was it there was
Don't
Seasons?
Say the Black Album by Metallica.
Seasons?
Seasons in the Abyss?
Yeah.
Oh, have you listened to Hell Awaits?
Yeah.
It's raw.
Yeah.
It's only three songs on one of them. It's awesome. Now, Seasons, they got a little bit more...
It was more melodic.
Polished. More polished. Yeah. But you listen to, Show No Mercy and then Hell Awaits.
Yeah.
Hell Awaits is, I think... Show No Mercy is probably their best album. Not a bad song on the album.
No, there isn't.
And then Hell Awaits is really good follow-up.
Sorry, I've completely tuned out because the NFL draft is live.
Slayer.
Yes. Not having Slayer talk.
I have Slayer talk. I'm fine with Slayer.
Well, I'm old school. I'm old school Slayer. The new stuff kind of sounds like the...
Well, you know what? I'm happy that they got the guy from, what is it, Exodus? He was from Exodus, right?
Gary Holt,
yeah. I'm glad that they got him in, because I feel like he was a really good fit for them. I would say, as far as newer thrash bands go, Anthrax's new album, fantastic.
Like, I haven't listened to it.
Oh, it's wonderful. And their guitar player... they got the guitar player from Shadows Fall recently to replace the guy that went off to go and play with Volbeat, because that's a good fucking idea.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. He left Anthrax. He was an original member of Anthrax. He left Anthrax to fucking join Volbeat.
What are you talking about? Volbeat is an amazing band, and I'm so happy that Cher is finally getting into metal.
Yeah,
that's our joke at work, is that every time Volbeat plays, like, man, I love this new Cher album.
F-free. That's all. Yeah.
I like when anytime I play the Warriors Call in Rock Band, Chris just happens to come in and he's like,
Yeah, dude, I can't.
Congratulations, you can now become the new lead singer of Volbeat.
Yay!
Listen, we saw them at Rock on the Range a couple years ago, and I had to translate for everybody that was with me, because I actually knew some of the songs.
He's originally from, like, fucking Iceland or some shit?
Something, I don't know, something
don't
stupid.
Don't say stupid. No, it's fucking countries aren't stupid.
Iceland is fucking dumb.
No, it was like, it's a
Iceland
weird, it's
right
a really
now,
weird,
you suck.
It's a really weird one. His dialect is just, ugh, awful. Because it sounds like he learned how to speak English from listening to Glenn Danzig.
Or, you know.
Jason, sure. You have to tell him about the last show he went to.
Copenhagen. They're Danish. Yeah, he's Dutch.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Diggy dis.
Have you guys ever listened to fucking Flesh God Apocalypse?
Yes. Their new album is freaking incredible.
Isn't it?
Ugh.
We hung out with them backstage at the Whiskey.
What?
Huh? And what? It's so fucking, like the female opera singer, like, we were talking about Spaceballs with her. It was awesome.
What?
Yeah, like, they're totally chill, they're totally cool, down to earth, like, you know, hanging out and chatting and all that. And then you see them go out, and it's like,
dude, they're fucking intense, man. That album is, ooh, that album.
We are
ridiculous.
We're chatting with them about doing some music for something we're working on.
Oh, that would be incredible. I would lose my shit. Because they are fucking talented, I know a lot of people like will immediately write off like death metal and technical death metal bands just because it's just like, oh no, I can't get behind it, but like these guys are insane, like their arrangements are incredible.
Oh yeah, and hearing these guys performing live, I mean, the Whiskey, it's, you know, obviously a very famous establishment, but it's tiny.
Oh, it's small.
And you know, these guys are on stage and they are just blowing out of the building. Like, you know, you're watching and you're going, this level of intensity is so strong. Like, there are going to be fucking fatalities before this is over. This is awesome.
We have seen some great shows over the last year, haven't we, Jason? I mean, some awesome stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know,
I'm really jealous.
Really get to see
some
Bones. Great. Sea of Bones was amazing.
The last show I saw was fucking Offspring. They look like Grandpa now.
I can't remember the last concert I went to. It's been so long.
What
was the last one you went to with me, Joe?
That might have been the last one. Shinedown and Adelita's Way.
Yeah, and unless you went with your sister or something afterwards. But yeah,
it's possible. I don't remember.
That weird fucking building near Wilkes, right? That's where it was?
Catholic Youth Center, I think.
Yeah. It's just a
like
weird
you guys,
shape.
Seriously, if you ever get a chance to check out Sea of Bones live, I promise you it is the loudest experience you will ever have in your life. Like, it's so loud, your internal organs will be moving around inside your chest cavity.
Why? You need to go there and have them rot, you know, use their musical skills to burn that thing off of your face.
Should happen.
You have to listen to The Earth Wants Us Dead. You have to listen to that.
I would be scared to go to a concert like that because
Sea of Bones.
I'm just scared if I went to a concert like that where it shakes stuff loose inside you, that it's going to like shake loose a clump of cholesterol and just block an artery.
That could happen.
But at least you'll die rocking out.
You felt the sound in your guts.
Well, the SNL podcast ended this week because Joe died at a concert. He was rocked to death.
They're like a doom thing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, it's crushing doom. Awesomeness.
Loud when the bass kicks and the fucking chandelier is swaying, objects are falling off the bar because the sound waves are hitting it that hard.
Wow.
You're sitting there and you're feeling your colon, your liver, your kidneys, your intestines, your appendix, your heart, all of your organs actually rearranging themselves like Tetris pieces because the sound is permeating you so hard.
So in 2 weeks, I just listened to a little bit on YouTube, and I've decided in 2 weeks I take over our scheduling department where customers actually bring us the stuff for repair and calibration. I've decided that I'm going to get their album and then just put it on repeat.
Just play the Earth Wants Us Dead over and over again.
As all these airmen and then plus the 60-year-old civilians working at like Metals Tech and stuff come in, this is what they're going to hear.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, the Earth Wants Us Dead, that track is like 38 or 39 minutes long.
God damn.
Like, you zone out.
Oh, so
like
I never got out of that first song on because the full album's on YouTube. I only made it 10 minutes in, so I'm still listening to the first track.
Oh, yeah, I listened to it on Bandcamp. You could listen to the tracks on Bandcamp.
Yeah. I mean, just at the 20-minute mark, they bring in a drum. And then
a drum.
Oh, so this is a perfect rock band song right here. I just chill out.
Oh, God.
And you like the song climaxes at the 31-minute mark, and there's still 8 more minutes of devastation. Like, God, the suffering.
So their first set is just one song.
Yeah, there's like no when set. We heard them perform live, they only played 3 songs.
We were there for
so long.
Yeah, we were there for an hour and a half.
Wow.
Jesus.
Well, we went to a show. We went and saw Bellwitch in Glendale.
Oh yeah.
And this one band came out. They played one song for 45 minutes.
And
good Lord,
freaking bass comes in. It is summoning the demon Samael.
It's so
that's
good.
It's so intense.
I'm interested to listen to it. I haven't listened to a lot of doom in a long time, so
this is atmospheric sludge doom. Nothing, no hope, no humanity, no future. Everything has died.
Poor phantoms. It's a mess.
I look at Sea of Bones on Bandcamp. 6 tracks: 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 13 minutes, 9 minutes, 12 minutes, 39 minutes.
39 minutes.
So 6 tracks, and you're still looking at like fucking almost 90 minutes of music.
I would go running and get lost in The Earth Wants Us Dead, and then realize when did the guitar come in? And
that's how I have to judge where I am in the song.
Oh, the guitar came in at the 12-minute mark, and it's been going for 14 minutes, and the song is 2/3 over.
God damn.
That's awesome.
I should probably turn around.
When did the guitar come in?
See, and I thought it was funny that I just made a CD to play in the car with 8 songs on it, and it filled the CD.
No, now it's like, hey, I'm going to go running, but I only have the energy to run for 1 song.
Yeah. It's like, better slap on freaking, what is it, Change of Seasons from Dream Theater.
Yeah, I mean, this is just evil, how intense it is, and it keeps going to the point where even after everything has been blown up and destroyed, they're lighting fire to the cinders that are left over. It's complete and total apocalypse.
I wonder if we could get away with playing them for our music this week. Just 39-second long song.
Because, I mean, their music.
Minutes. Well, yeah, we're already running on past 2 hours now.
Yeah, and I still have to talk about Paranautical Activity, too.
Paranautical Activity. I'm picturing, like, the zombie Love Boat.
Just put on Earth Wants Us Dead in the background while you talk about that.
Oh, God. Well, let me just get this out of the way because I do need to do this review. Paranautical Activity, developed by Code Avarice. Published by Digirati Distribution. It releases, it should be out by the time you hear this, for $9.99 on the Xbox One. It is a first-person shooter with roguelike elements. It is a pixelated style visuals. It is brutally difficult. Basically, you start off, you pick one of 4 classes, you go room to room, very Binding of Isaac style. What the hell was that?
A nose being blown.
Isaac.
Isaac room, just got bound.
Room to room, clear them out, kill bosses, move on. Kill bosses? Yeah, awesome. Bosses are in there. Believe it or not, it's like a video game.
Oh, kill bosses. I thought you said kill bosses.
Kibasa. Para restaurantical activity.
Yes. Sausage activity, something. The game's a lot of fun. It's if you've ever played a Ziggurat on any of the platforms, it's very similar to that, but it's more of a retro pixelated visual style instead of like a hand-drawn fantastical art style. The game is brutally hard. It will kick your ass. You will enjoy it. You will go back and play it over and over. Soundtrack is good. Game is good. I can't talk too long because I won't be able to stay on topic. I did mention to someone affiliated with the game that the game was kicking my ass, and this random Nick who replied to me said, yeah, fuck this game. So even the people who are releasing the game realize how fucking hard and fun it is. So check it out. Try it. Good stuff. Have fun.
Done.
Jan's here. She's in the chat. And I should let her know that she won a game.
Well, now she knows.
Yeah. Hey, you won the 3DS version of the game. You missed that. I'll email it to you later. Good times.
Yeah.
It's like Binding of Isaac Dark Souls edition. Not really. There's no rolling through barrels.
You just roll and not slash?
Not with that attitude.
Roll and slash simulator 2016.
Yes.
Right.
It's like Guitar Hero meets Assassin's Creed, except nothing like that at all.
It's exactly like that, except completely different.
Yeah. I love when I you know, I'm trying to talk about a movie to somebody who's just clueless. I'm like, oh yeah, have you seen like Schindler's List? Like, yeah. And Saving Private Ryan? Yeah, well, this is a comedy.
You're a dick.
Have you actually? It should have been the other way around. Should have been like, "Hey, have you seen like Billy Madison?" Yeah. Okay. And have you seen like Black Sheep? Yeah. Well, this is actually about the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, but then
this is about the Holocaust.
Probably, but yeah. That could still be a comedy because you know, there are apocalyptic comedies out there.
The funny thing is, before you said Black Sheep, I was like, Black Sheep. So happened to be the same movie we were thinking of.
Yeah.
Life is weird that way.
That movie is fantastic.
Wait, well, I was going to say, you say that and the apocalypse, I'm like, oh, this is the end. Okay. That's the movie.
Well,
Man. So I think we covered
basically
everything.
Wait, aren't we going to talk about Jump Jet Rex?
Yeah, tell us about Jump Jet Rex. Give us the sales pitch of the game. Give us the sales pitch. Tell us about Jump Jet Rex.
We can start over.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm tired.
And I'm hungry.
My face is melting.
You going to turn your camera on yet?
Worst seven dwarves ever.
Are you going to turn your camera on to show us your melty face?
I am just not turning my camera on. It will scare everyone.
You should do it. Let's end the show with our reaction of seeing your face.
Just show the video of the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark with his face melted.
That's basically it. Like, you know, you see my Skype headshot right there. Now replace half of my face with a baked potato. Melted.
Red one. A red baked
potato. A red baked potato.
Yeah, just replace the other half of my face with a cheese pizza that got run over, you know, by a semi-truck, and that's more or less how it looks right now.
Joe, just put a cheese pizza on the side of his face, his right side. Just put a piece of cheese pizza on there.
Oh,
that's
God.
What it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
You know, basically right now I look like Pizza the Hutt. And
just on the right side.
Yes, I'm full-on Phantom of the Opera now. Like,
just own the Quarto thing, and when you go into work tomorrow, just stand real close to someone and just be like, open your mind.
That's what it looks like. Is that a baked potato? Or
yes.
It's a baked potato.
Because
your internet skills are amazing.
Like, I can't even cover cover it up just by like wearing like a stylish, like I could be badass and wear a nope, it's now bit. It's like my fucking cheekbone.
I like how just like you could easily just make that not as wide and it would just show the potato.
The thing is I can't make it smaller.
You can?
Move it up a little.
I can make it wider, but
so just move it up a little. Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. Just move it up. God.
Hey, I'm working. Yeah, you're on a delay.
Can. It's so
you're
weird
on a delay.
Like
that potato's beard is on point, though.
Yeah,
there we go.
There that's you so go. That's what it looks like. Yeah. That's it.
That potato's beard is on.
Well, good.
Oh my god. I don't know what to play for music this week. I'll see if I could. I don't know.
Is there not music in Jump Jet Rex?
Yeah, do you want to get us some of the songs from Jump Jet and we'll play those?
Not really.
Okay, that works.
Okay, so you're not getting Jump Jet.
I'll just play Danimal's Behemoth 3 times.
Why don't you play actual Behemoth?
Play the music that's going on in the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the guys know. Just play that scene.
Just play that 3 times.
Play the audio from that scene.
I'll figure something out. I'll play something. Chris, yeah, just play something with your automaton.
I'll have to find it and get batteries.
Yeah,
it's
no,
here somewhere.
We needed you on Tuesday with that.
Really?
But, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
But anyway, do you guys have any final words to end the show?
We're sorry.